Blog Talk Radio.
Ow! Ow! Woo! Shut it down!
To stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Mendel Rivers to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nubs. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner. The revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on reports from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he had been saving for just the right occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so goddamn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally screwed Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news, and no pictures of Harry Arm women liberationists and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, or Engelbert Humperdinck. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
There you have it. Gil Scott-Heron. The revolution will not be televised. Probably not. Well, hey, everybody, this is Ron Reck, your host tonight, live on BTR. I hope everybody's having a good evening. I had a pretty good day, barbecued, and had a pretty good time. Didn't drink, stayed sober, behaved myself. But anyway, I'm glad to see everybody here tonight. But yeah, man, I brought up this topic tonight, citizens. What is it? You know, what do they want to call it? What do they want to, you know, I've looked at a lot of definitions of this, you know, which I have many times before. I just had to refresh myself and see what they have changed recently on the definition of a citizen, because, you know, a lot of definitions for a lot of words get changed around, so you don't understand them, the main definition of that, because they say words to you like citizen, and you don't know really what anything citizen to you. Well, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. Well, that you are, so it's crazy. But yeah, man, I just came to the conclusion that, you know, a lot of people need to start understanding what they are doing. We're so blindfolded by a lot of things that happen around us. You know, it's like when you see a deal you're getting on the internet and in terms and conditions, most people don't read that and are voluntarily giving up their information. Just giving it away. Here, check everything I do. So, yeah, that's it. You know what I mean? It's not fraud. It's legal. They handed it to you. They told you. It's just like a pharmaceutical company. Well, you know, this does help with your depression. The side effects are cancer, stroke, death, hallucinations, bad dreams, nightmares, suicidal tendencies, and all that shit. But it will help you get your depression. Oh, my. It gets better, don't it, as we go along? The disclaimers of it all. But anyway, you know, I'm going to go back to the studio, see if we've got any callers on, and see what we get, you know, what people think. Let's go. I have a caller. Hey, welcome to the Ron Reck Show. How are you doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing fairly well. Is this Darcy?
Yep.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of a long day, and got to wonder about things. Got to really wonder.
I do it every day. Yeah.
Yep.
It's, Yeah, it can get consuming for time to do it when you start wondering things, if you start looking. That's what I do. I mean, I have to look. I have to know. You know, maybe I don't really need to know. Maybe I should be like the rest of the people and not know. But I just, I don't know why I do it. I can't explain it. I could not tell you. I mean, there's some reason why I do it. I want people to know. I want them to know the truth about things, you know? But it just depends how far you stretch it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. How far you want to stretch the fact. Do you want to put yourself in a position to take the weight for doing that? Or you just want to be quiet about it, you know? So you
have
to turn the truth back into a lie.
I guess the question comes down to, if it's your life story, then it's your life story. Isn't
right.
Your life story or your awareness of things that interact with it yours by the virtue of...
Right. Should be. Yeah, it should be. That's right. It should be. But that's
I mean, the question is when you're talking about certain subjects
mm-hmm.
that we were talking about earlier,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
Then how is it that, well, I'll just say it, how is it that truth can be illegal?
That's what Obama said. Didn't you catch that one?
You know, I had no idea. I mean, honestly, I had no idea.
Because it comes
down to the fact of you're actually in an absolute you're up against
state
the law.
Well,
omission of the yeah. law is not telling what you know that's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not
right.
tell of a criminal act that is clearly in our books,
mm-hmm.
then you can be held accountable for not reporting it. And yet at the same time...
That's a contradicted fact.
That's right.
You know, that's what I'm trying, yeah. that's what I'm trying to, you know, how can you say one thing and do another? I mean, but it's what they did. I mean, that's what Obama did.
Right,
let's
take it to the next level, though. And the next level is, then does that mean, as human beings, when we are trying to look out for each other, does that mean if you see something happening, do you hear something that somebody is attempting to plot against somebody at any level, in any position, does that mean you're not allowed to tell? Where do the parameters end and begin? And then how do you teach your children right from wrong when, in fact, what you're dealing with is you're telling them you're not allowed to tell what you know?
Mm-hmm. What is this? But there again, if you don't tell on them, you get in trouble. If you do tell them, you get in trouble. So either way, you're in trouble. So, you know, what do? You know, you can't make that decision. That's what they're telling you.
Well, even if you don't necessarily, I mean, let's even take this from a religious standpoint. If you are a religious person, and let's establish it as that you understand that $20 is 20. Now, it may not actually be that equivalent in real coinage, but if
mm-hmm.
somebody loses $20, you're going to give them back their $20 just because they didn't see it. Now, does that mean that you don't have to be honest anymore? Or is virtually what we're saying is that even if you're at a bank and you see someone come in or you hear them over, you know, speak about what they want to do, does that mean that that's totally okay? Does that mean that and again, I don't sanction this kind of behavior, but we have this tragedy out in California of this young man whose parents clearly were reporting him for his, behaviors. Does that mean that his parents are now going to be prosecuted for telling the truth about him?
Well, I think what Obama's deal was, but he's saying whistleblowers, telling secrets, Well, isn't a crime a secret? Most of them are. Nobody wants to know you're committing a crime.
Well, criminals, that's how they get away with it, is they have secrets.
It's a secret. Right.
Now the question is, are those only pertaining to a certain part of our history? Is it all of our history? Is it if you're talking about, let's say, our veterans who, like the doctors who are reporting these things and veterans who have been reporting this stuff for years, are we saying that we don't want to know about how they're being treated because if you don't report this stuff and you know someone's going to harm themselves or someone else, or it may even escalate, and you see how they're doing it, how they're pushing them over the edge, or whatever the factors are that are causing these people to go off, does that mean that's acceptable because people are going to be harmed? And isn't it then a question of, if you do not report, then it's a failure to report omission, and then you could actually be prosecuted for failing to report, in which, huge traumatic events could occur, huge criminal events could occur, because then you have to worry about the laws of knowledge before or after the fact, that they could say. They could say you had prior knowledge and you didn't report this, but then you're in a catch-22 if you go and you report it to someone and you keep a person from harming another person, or you're witnessing inappropriate behavior that is causing people to lose it, and you're seeing cause and effect right in front of you, then which side of the law are you supposed to weigh in on? Helping to keep people safe in the community?
It just stops it. If a cop comes and asks you a question about something, did you see this happen? And you got to say, well, I can't answer that because it's against the law to tell you.
Right.
But if I don't tell you, it's against the law because I, wouldn't tell you. So it doesn't make no sense.
The sad thing is this almost sounds like the Catholic Inquisition. Because every time they change a little bit of the law under the Catholic Church, and back then, obviously, they didn't have computers, they didn't have Pony Express, they went by whatever means they could. If you weren't aware of that change, you were then subjected to being put in prison. You were being subjected to being tortured. So, they can be little nuances, but again, how do you help people become stable when, in fact, they're the ones who may have, in fact, had crimes committed against them? Doesn't that mean that ultimately if people are having crimes committed against them and you attempt to either even against yourself, then does that mean people are now being silenced from telling the facts of that they had crimes committed against them? Again, taking it to a real metaphor/realistic thing. Everybody probably has had the flu. When you get the flu, it typically is a built-up of toxins, toxicity, a fever, germs, and the ultimate is like keeping your mouth and your behind totally shut down, which is not a good thing when your body is saying get rid of it. And like depending on what a human being has been through, if they have been through so much they can no longer hold it in, then where do they go to expel it? Where?
Right.
Because if not, you're asking for the potential, because people can only take so much brutalization before they pop. Before they go off, and does that mean that this new law is virtually a support of we want people to lose it and go off on each other?
That's, well, I mean, think about it. If they cut everybody off with these antidepressant pills, which, you know, the psychiatry people have put people to believe on, you know, these drugs, it's, what if they all get cut off from that? Wait, that happens.
Well, again, one of the things any of your listeners may want to check out is the website CCHR, CharlieCharlieHotelRomeo.org, and then look at the documentary called The Enemy with the Hidden Enemy. Now, please know, for anybody who might be on any type of prescription drugs, you need to be very aware that you should never get off of anything cold turkey. If when you go out and you watch this, it's the history of the psychiatry world and how the pharmaceuticals have over-influenced them. So when you watch this amazing documentary, please do not just quickly get off of something. But this is not what this is about. If you feel that you may be affected by this, please do it responsibly, again, for your own safety.
Dorothy, can you get my chat room? Do you see a link I put in my chat room?
No, I actually don't know about your chat
access
room.
Okay. Well, what it's called is Quakes and Global Incident Map. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen one of those?
No.
Okay, you need to check that out. GlobalIncidentMap.com.
Math or map?
Map.
M-A-P?
Yeah, M-A-P. Right. Global Incident Map.
Okay.
.com. Okay. When you get that open, you'll see on the bottom of the bar it shows you different things. You know, Amber Alert, hazmat, forest fires, disease outbreaks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In the middle, presidential threats map. Look at that thing. That's crazy. That thing is just completely, you know, anywhere else in the whole world, you're looking right at it. And wow. That's just crazy. Right,
so
here in the United States by itself.
So it's .com?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what is this supposed to be?
It just shows, like, threats, border security, gang activities, Amber Alert, hazmat, earthquakes, drug inductions, terrorist activities, food medicine incidents, human trafficking. It's a mapping system. Where, I mean, it ain't going to hurt you. You're going to pick up nothing from it. It's clean. But, it just shows you different deals, what goes on.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's pretty interesting. But looking at the presidential threats, like, shit, the whole United States is practically covering red dots. So, I'm like, wow.
I wonder if Americans know that.
What's that?
I said, I wonder if Americans know that.
About this site, what this looks like?
Uh-huh.
Probably not, no. You ask the person else, you know how many threats are done, how bad America's, you know, bombarding threats? I mean, it's in... But you can click on the little red dots, and it'll show you what the threat was or whatever, you know. That's just way too many. That just don't make no sense. I can't seem to figure that out. Unless this is a bogus site. I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't say. I don't know. I never had a problem with them, but, you know, that's just wow.
Oh.
A little more than I need to know. I guess, so, hey, they don't surprise me. They don't surprise me at all. That many, I mean, sad, terrible thing, but, hey. Piss people off. That's what you get. It's crazy.
Well, I think it really is a telltale sign of what's happening to human beings throughout their lives, in which those who are harming people are never being held accountable. It's really a flip over of, you know, when people are born, they're born whole. They're born whole and healthy. And when people tell me they're pro-life, and I don't want to get too far off of this point, but what I found is many of these people often are pro-birth. Once you get here, they don't care what happens to you. And yet the breaking of a human being, the intentional criminal shattering of a human being, is so dismissed. It's so pervasive and dismissed that over a period, I mean, just think about young men who were called the Lost Boys. These were young men that came from Africa who went through horrific criminal brutalization by both American or even international text and understanding. And yet when they got to this country, they were featured on Oprah and many other places, wrote books, became celebrities, and they were given the appropriate place to be able to vent what they had been through. And yet, everybody recognized that that inappropriate behavior that they endured was enough to be able to bring it to national attention without concern. And yet, so much of the stuff that is happening here or at various people's hands is virtually kept under wraps now. And yet, it's not going to help society. It's going to potentially, much like the flu, explode all over the place. And often, if a person who is truly seeking help, because they may have been a very good and decent person, again, when they're whole, they're good and decent, right, depends on the influence. But as they're growing up and they've always reported certain things, how is it that now when you're when I was growing up, you were to report people being bullied. You were supposed to step in and help and keep it from happening. And yet, right, if you now dare to do it, and crime against another human being is ultimately a bullying position. It's, and depending on at what level it is even, it's beyond. It can, in fact, be human torture. And yet, you're not supposed to help to alleviate that. You're not supposed to help to get these people grounded. And it's like, so the question one must ask is it then the intent of various people to help people lose it?
Right.
So that's ultimately what you have to wonder. The failure to be able to disclose, and actually people who refuse to allow you to disclose to safeguard other people as well as oneself, the nonverbal of that and the reverse of that is we want people to lose it.
Right.
Would that not be logical? Would that, or am I missing, I mean, if this is a hypothesis, if we had to write a paper in school, the hypothesis is, failure to allow a healthy avenue, safe avenues for people to disclose criminal violations, abuse, or whatever that has occurred either to themselves or other people, or the means by which it has happened over a period of time, failure and or the right to disclose any place that's safe to expel healthy, in a healthy, safe way, failure to allow that to happen means that, and here's the hypothesis, that one is attempting to make aberrant people, to cause or create violent people.
Mm.
So if you then begin to populate all the different types of abuses that human beings could go through, my question to you is, what is another logical conclusion other than there is a want and a desire for people to lose it and become violent?
Well, it's a good question. It's a tough question. Why would you want something like that? It's senseless. You know, I don't,
right.
You know. The only thing it can do is gain profit.
Right, but the first question I have for you, is,
right.
Is there another thing? Because the first thing you have to do in extrapolating this conversation is you have to say, okay, if you're not allowed to tell the truth, if telling the truth is now illegal, then the question is, depending on what kind of truth, if there's crimes being committed that are so aberrant in which people are denying, and this isn't new. This is stuff that has been going on for decades. And And people have been denied the right to speak the truth. So if they're beating people down, wiping them out, pummeling them, pounding, then the question is, and this is the question for you, is there another possibility that may be on this perspective of, okay, they don't want you telling the truth, so the opposite is they want people to become violent, or if breaking you down, and here's a third possibility, breaking you down like that then shatters your ability to think clearly, to be logical, to be rational, to be healthy, emotionally healthy.
That does make sense.
Okay, so there's another there's another possibility. So that's what I'm asking.
There's a lot of avenues that's being, you've got to figure, though, there's other avenues to this. You know, there's other ways they do it, not just in that perspective. Okay, you've got to think of the other ways they do it. Okay, money is the most evilest tool used. Okay? For instance, you know, I brought up the topic of auto insurance. You don't have a choice. You have to. It's mandatory. You have to buy it. You have to pay for that out of money.
Right.
Right? And it don't matter if you want to or not. You still have to, because if you don't, there's a penalty involved. Threaten to take your driver's license away, you know, take your vehicle and everything like that.
Right.
So then comes along, I think the seatbelt law was first. But anyway, what doesn't matter when it came, it's here and we know it's here. Then you got the seatbelt law. It's mandatory that you put that thing on, that device.
Right.
Okay. You have no choice.
Although I do find it interesting. I do find it interesting.
It's your body. Right, but it's your body, and you should be able to do what you want it since you own it, supposedly. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But you can't do that, or there's a penalty.
Right, but here's my question. If the concept, the perception is that they care about you, and yet it's money, then don't you find it interesting that school buses don't have seatbelts on them?
Correct, right. Yeah, right. Don't make no sense, does it?
Nope.
But then the other part of the point I'm making is now you have Obamacare. Well, you know, the Affordable Care Act, let's call it that, whichever. Okay, now, there again, it is mandatory, and you're forced into buying it. Okay? But you can barely afford to pay for the rent on your house, the payment on your car, any insurance payment on your car, and your power bill, your phone bill, and now another $300-$400 a month healthcare payment. When you're barely making it on what you got now. You know? So mental problems with people. Okay? You hear about it. A little small tidbits in the news about how, well, the man shot his two children, wife, and himself. You know, but he just got laid off from his job. You see what I mean? Money.
Uh-huh.
Money controls a lot of mental emotions, man, big time. And people can't hold on to it. They flip out. But I think my personal opinion on this I mean, this is not a fact. I'm not sure. I'm just basing his opinion. Is when people are on antidepressants, they are more likely to snap faster than a person that is not. You see what I mean?
Well,
psychological drug antidepressants, because that is what they have done in the psychiatrists fixed this.
Right,
so
and if you, again,
ideas.
Not being a doctor, but, you know, there's a lot of really great doctors, medical and psychiatrists, that are on the CCHR that speak to that very issue. And again, I don't want to take out of context that documentary, but it speaks to all those issues and the pharmaceuticals and their impact on human beings. And I believe one of the comments they made was that the psychiatry world has never fixed anyone. They've never
nope.
cured anyone
nope.
from what has happened.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. They haven't. And if, I mean, I've seen films and read books on it, and man, they used to be barbaric. Psychiatrists used to be really crazy.
Oh, they're
I
still
mean,
not much better.
No, I know, but now they went from chopping people up and bleeding them to death and all kinds of crazy shit like they used to do, and electroshock therapies and all that, to the chemical ride. And they're making money. They're making
right.
money at it. That's the whole idea of it. They're not
right.
curing shit. They're causing more problems than they're doing any curing. I mean, I can't remember what the numbers, how many children are on antidepressant drugs are that shit, Ritalin, for ADHD bullshit they came up with. When they first came out with that, I said, that is the biggest bullshit story I've ever been told. I swear. You know, I'm besides many more, but, you know, wow. It's insane. I don't, man, I tell you. It can't get better than this. You know, but people, they go along with it. I don't understand how people just go right along with it. I mean, how blind could you be, man? I mean, you got sight, but you can't see. That's sad. That is so sad. Jay, we got another call. Let's bring this other caller on. See who we got. Hello, 302. How's it going?
Hey, Ron. I was just listening.
Well, okay. Well, are you complaining because you didn't have your hand up?
I didn't have my hand up.
I'm just doing a government thing, victimizing. Okay, I'll put you back on you. Just put your hand up when you're ready. All right. You're cut off. All right. Ain't that how it works? I haven't taken the government control test yet, or learning course on how to play with people's heads. But, yeah, but anyway, my thing is like my topic tonight. Citizen. What do you think about that, Dorothy? I mean,
I think it is truly, I think it is truly unfortunate that manipulation of words are so contrary that they're now being intentionally used to batter and brutalize people rather than communicate communicate to get people on the same page.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But then again, you go back to the previous thing. You know, it's what people are going to have to start doing is, you know, the old saying, I cannot tell a lie. You now have to say, I must tell a lie. So from here on out, as I'm telling you, I'm going to be telling you from the opposite meaning. I'm not allowed to tell you the truth. So you're going to have to tell them the opposite and say, and periodically you're going to have to say, now we're going to be not telling you the truth. And this is based on this new law, and you tell the opposite of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of like...
But they have figured, they have prosecuted people for just saying things, period. Just words.
Yeah, but again, I mean, the issue is that if you have somebody who needs to tell their story, their life story, their story...
Right.
And then you're going to say, we cannot tell you the truth. So, that person was not green. They weren't an alien. I mean, is that an omission or is that not telling the truth? It's like, where do you go from here?
We don't get stuff outside the box to explain it, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I just, you know, like I said, it's all trickery, regardless of all this. It's all, they play with it. You know, like, okay, the word, like I said, my topic of the show tonight is citizen, right? And the part of the description is, you know, a native or nationalized person who owes allegiance to a government. I don't owe them allegiance to shit. Nobody does. You see, that's the problem. I don't get it. And then it kind of contradicts itself and entitles to protect it from it. Well, okay, and that's Webster's Dictionary says this. I don't get it. That's the confusing thing they do, but that's what they do. So I would have to say to them, bullshit. This is bullshit. That's all I can explain to them. You're saying
one
thing,
I found it interesting. Well, tonight on 60 Minutes, they had veterans, and they were talking about how they have a program now for veterans, combat vets, and it's exposure therapy. So, in other words, what they're doing, and they actually said this is for sexual abuse survivors out of the military. This is 60 Minutes saying this. So clearly now 60 Minutes is lying, or are they telling the truth? And what they're saying is that they're now using this extreme exposure therapy for combat vets because their PTSD is so severe. And they were talking about guys from Vietnam War and since, but how they'll go in and they'll continue to repeat and repeat and repeat what they've been put through in the fact of, it's supposed to take the sting out of the event by disempowering it. Well, that's all well and good, and while they were in a foreign location where those events happened, now I'm bringing this up because 60 Minutes brought it up, so they opened that door. So the question is, when you're dealing with the sexual aspect of it, then when these people were not held accountable in the military, how are those victims of those crimes supposed to deal with that issue? Because their assailants aren't in a foreign country. Their criminal violators aren't in some foreign land someplace far away. How are they supposed to handle that that's unique and different? I mean, no one seems to be answering the questions, and yet to literally, I guess that's what I'm amazed with, is because in my grandmother's time and my mother's time, even though the laws were on the books, and in college we were taught that, and throughout our lives, that you are supposed to have a civilized society, you are supposed to help to ensure safety for all people. And yet by not meeting that promise and obligation to both the divinity that you believe in and to to oneself, then how can you have that which the criminal enterprises are preying upon? By silencing those who have endured the most, don't you give absolute permission to those criminal enterprises who prey on the most vulnerable and those who have the least, or that those who are naive and unaware?
It's because one thing, people give them consent. You know, people give them consent.
Right, but consent by omission, especially if it's a crime, is in fact a crime still.
Right.
Right. That's,
I mean, the Justice Department spoke of the mafia in the 70s before they came up with a RICO statute. They said, here's an organization that, and they described it like a train. And they said that the engine is the beginning of the organizational crime. The coupling between the cars was the ongoing different threads of the system, that regardless of how many cars they were all found to be coupled together, therefore it was, as the Justice Department called it, an unlimited liability. And it was Giuliani. What's his first name?
Rudy.
Rudy Giuliani, who actually made a name for himself, as well as Chertoff, who would go on to become the FEMA head. Those two were the ones that prosecuted the mafia and even prosecuted a gentleman who had, and I use that term very loosely, he had been in the mafia as an elderly retired person. He actually wrote a book, and they prosecuted him in his mid-70s, 80s, based on his book. Now, the question would be, does that mean that they're going to be able to go backwards and say, well, that shouldn't have been, that they should not be undoing all that?
Right.
Because
I don't know.
Because those behaviors have then taken off in America, things that were happening under those criminal enterprises. And one says, well, why isn't this being addressed?
Right. It's who you are. I think that's what it is. I think it's, you know, everybody's labeled, you know. Everybody drops into a category of some type. You
right.
know what I mean? Labeling, you know. So it matters who you are and what you are.
Right, but failure to report a crime could also include aiding and abetting. I mean, they can get you conspiracy before and after a fact. Now, those are terms
right.
in the law books.
Right.
But you have, if you had knowledge of and didn't report, then it's aiding and abetting or conspiracy before or after the fact. So the question
right.
is, what are you supposed to do? I'm waiting for maybe, are they going to start selling blinders? Maybe that's a new business we need to go into, blinders.
Yeah, no kidding. Might as well. It's getting so, you know, twisted up anymore. I think they're having bad problems. You know, it's starting to fall apart on them. You know what I mean? I think it's really starting to fall apart. I mean, I hope it is. I mean, what else could happen? I mean, every big empire fails. They just don't. They're getting caught up in all this. I mean, a lot of people are waking up to the fact of what they're doing, and it's just a matter. You know, I mean, a short period of time, I think, where it's all really exposed. You know, all the things they've hidden and lied and cheated and criminal acts they've done against us. You know, it's been criminal. Bad for a real long time.
Are you familiar, for instance, with Kathy O'Brien?
Sounds familiar.
Kathy O'Brien's on YouTube. Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. And she speaks of her life story, and she came out in the 80s and has written books of her life story. And the information was actually investigated criminally by a former federal judge, a former federal attorney, customs officials, the deceased Colonel Prouty, and she ended up speaking before the Intelligence Committee in 1987 on sexual abuse, and and how she ended up being sexually abused within the U.S. government. And she names all the people who were her abusers, very prominent names that were clearly anyone, even if you have your head in the sand, you would know these names of very prominent people. And does that mean that then that her knowledge, information, and facts are not allowed to be known, in which it's really about protection of children?
Yeah, use one off the other. They do that all the time.
Right.
You ever notice that? They use one off the other all the time.
Right, but then what you're doing is you're actually helping the criminals who did this stuff to her get absolutely away with it.
Yeah, they seem to always have another way to turn it around. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a pattern they use. But, you know, like I said, where's the end game on this? Because look at what's going on. You know, this is, you know, they want to depopulate, I've been told. But is this the way they're doing it without getting caught doing it? You know, by turning everybody crazy and zombieing out everybody on drugs? You know, because if we have an economic collapse and there's a run on the banks, and there is no more money, there is no more grocery stores and McDonald's and Walmart, you know, of course these people aren't going to go looting crazy mad. You know, they are. And that would help thin out the herd. But to do something that diabolical is completely insane. But they don't care. They don't have a heart or a soul. They don't care what happens. That's what it seems to be. It depends on the people. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, first off, I don't know why we the people let it happen, but it was systematically, they lied to us so good we couldn't catch in time or it was too late. They're making deals without our consent and without us having any involvement with it whatsoever. That's what it is. I mean, it's plain and simple. If you can't see it, you're blind. But that's what they want. They want you blind. They don't want you to see it. But, the other thing about that, well, we told you it was on the news, but it was told on the news in a different way. You didn't catch on to it. You know? I don't know. Like I said, my topic of being a citizen, it don't make no sense. It's just that one word, you know? I'm going to start doing that on my formats, bring up one word that, you know, we need to figure out what it actually means. Then people understand what it means later, you know, in definitions, because definitions are very important to know in a lot of different words. I mean, certain words that people should be aware of, like citizen, person, human, and all that, you know, those type of things. But I don't know, man. It's getting to be where we have became a totally different society. A very fast-paced, super-speeded society, you know, with the technology we have, and the technology's faster than ever. And it ain't, but you know what? Now here, it's really not that fast yet. So wow. Let's see what
right, but I the mean, unfortunate when thing is start. That the unfortunate thing is that the internet. I mean, if for anybody who believes everything they read out there, I mean, its intention is to mislead. Again, sadly, if you really had an internet that said this section has to have 100% the truth, then you'd have to ask, well, who's writing the truth and based on whose truth?
So that's, right. Yeah. Who's calling it? Yeah, who's
right.
calling the rules on that one? Right.
Right. And again, that's the sad fact is that if you really begin to look at what has happened in a person's life, you know, you're the first person that knows what occurred in your life, and for someone to tell you, you don't have a right to your own truth.
Right.
Because.
Well, it's, you know, I think we live in a fictional society. Really. There's a lot of fiction. And if you don't get it, it's like, okay, like this show here we're doing right now, this is fiction. This ain't real. Ain't supposed to be real. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be an imagination. You know? That's what they want it to be. And that's what I claim it is. Might as well. That's a disclaimer. So anything you do say is truth, can't get in trouble for it. Because it's fiction. But even though it's true. You know, you understand what I mean? Playing one off the other.
I think what it also does, and what we're also seeing, is sadly how those who have been hired in, elected in, selected mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. have actually why they are not doing anything. They will not be accountable. They will not be responsible. They will not.
Mm-hmm.
They will not step up to anything that is destroying humanity.
No, because they think they get protection. That's what they think. That's okay. Do you remember when the Catholics used to tell people that if they gave them money, they guarantee them a trip to heaven? Remember that?
Yeah, they still do it.
Oh yeah. Right. They still do it. Absolutely. Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit then,
well,
it's bullshit now. So, yeah.
Well, again, you know, what they were doing is they were buying anything that they had done. So any sins or let's be honest,
right.
any crimes they committed,
right.
they
so, now,
had dispensation
now,
for.
Let's throw something else into the fire on that. Let's talk about the judicial system here now. Pay me money. And you're going to go to heaven. You won't go to jail. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well.
Kind of sounds familiar, don't it? Kind of, yeah.
Well, right. let's take it to the next level. In some of the New Age religions, their mm-hmm. attitude is that you had, and again, this is not knocking anybody's religion, but this is just exactly what I saw and what I learned,
right.
was you could go out, and you could be participating in numerous things that clearly they said, A, you had a previous life, was one of their comments. And the other
mm-hmm.
is that you're here to learn your
mm-hmm.
lessons. The problem
mm-hmm.
is that what that did is, depending on what a human being had gone through,
mm-hmm.
it actually... And again, pardon the hesitation because I'm trying to find the right words. One of the attitudes were in the new religions is your soul selected to come here and go through this. And therefore, the criminals came here to help you learn your lessons. Now, the unfortunate truth of that lie is that it justifies, it gives full justification to the criminals to do whatever the heck they want, when in
mm-hmm.
fact what's occurring is that when you look at the behavioral sciences and those among the neurosciences and the brain sciences, that what's actually happened is they know how to manipulate, coerce, and force people to do things based on trauma-based effects, which again
mm-hmm.
goes back to the Inquisition, that decades ago they knew very well how to coerce, force, and manipulate people, typically through torture and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
And I guess the question is, if we talk about history, does history mean we're talking about the truth now? Because the reality is, if we begin talking about history and sharing facts about history and saying, are you paying attention? Because this is how the brain works. In 1890, in England, the brain was totally mapped. Totally mapped.
Mm-hmm.
They knew how it was going to be affected, and that became very aware through the tortures, through the Catholic Church, through the Spanish Inquisition, and the Crusades, because they did horrific things to human beings, and they knew exactly how they were going to behave. Well, if you move
right.
it forward, and you begin looking at modern history, let's say 1940s, 1950s, is that illegal to talk about? It's not recent history, but it's, what now, 70, nearly 80 years ago, 60 years ago. Is that allowed to be talked about? Where does the line start and begin?
That's a real good question. Yeah, I've not seen a rule book on it.
Right.
You know, I don't, that's the thing. Where does the line start? You're right, exactly. Where does it start? I mean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, who's, and again, I, you know, you've shared with me that you have a PhD. Now, please know, I hope you don't take offense to this comment, because one of the interesting things that I was taught when I was growing up and getting my college degree was PhD. Mm-hmm. One of the acronyms for PhD was piled higher and deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Now, depending on the subject matter, you know, and again, depending also on the study of whatever you're doing, when you begin listening to people on TV and you know, I don't want to name anybody, but when they begin saying, here is my subject, and they have to put together a thesis, then it's amazing how they can craft information that will literally be pseudoscience, stick it together, throw out real science, make up their own quackery, and go on and say that that works. And they actually can get their degrees in it. And what they've ultimately done is made up something totally different to have people dip their cookies in as they're virtually serving them a cookie full of crap.
Mm-hmm. But that depends on what their PhD is in. You know,
absolutely.
My thing's in physics. I'm into physics.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I like to know how things work and what they are and where do they come from. You know what I mean? That's why I research what I do. That's why I do what I do. But, you know, I mean, my thing was the my biggest role was the best understanding of the concept of the minerals of the planet that will be best suited for us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the point was magnetics. That's always been my thing. And, you know, I'm really deep into that. And I have proven with the mechanical, you know, with mechanical systems, how to make things easier and work more efficient, but they're all used by natural things.
Right.
You see what I mean? You got to know how to put that together. But us, you know, have become so dependent on everything being handed to us. So we're kind of spoiled in a way, you know? But there is another way.
Throughout this country, not everybody was learning the education the same way. There were actually, depending on where you've lived and where you've moved to, there are people who were taught or got totally different lessons in what they were shown TV on. So, number one, that's something that everybody needs to consider, because the sad thing is we all don't have the same background. We don't have the same education systems.
Right.
The other thing, and I'm going to go back a while, is to begin looking based on some of these rules of the truth is not allowed to be spoken. It's now criminally made not liable. So who in history would end up in prison? Jesus Christ would be in prison. Because didn't Christ, I mean, whether or not he's fictional or not, I mean, there's a lot of people that debate it, but Jesus Christ, if he was here today, he would be in prison. Not only did he protect people, but he also spoke up against criminally abusive behavior that was wrong against another human being. I mean, and any of the great religious leaders across history and or scientists, Who else? Copernicus would be in prison. Michelangelo, the Wright brothers. Amelia Earhart would be in prison.
Right.
I mean, think about Lindbergh would be in prison.
Right.
Howard Hughes. You know, he built the aircraft industry and created a whole bunch. He'd be in prison. I mean,
right.
Who are the people that we know? Einstein would be in prison, wouldn't he?
Yeah, pretty much so. Right, that's it. Yeah.
How do you move forward to create a better society when, in fact, creation of society is based on where you are, what you've been through, and how to help people become better human beings?
Right.
If betterment is based on being able to speak the truth and or to move beyond what has happened to you, then how do you do that? Or has, or again, theoretical, or again, has your society from the moment that one has been born whole, has decided that you've been selected without your knowledge, permission, or consent to be made unwhole, in which over a lifetime of whatever that was not your fault, that you virtually are to be thrown away. And so, once again, pro-lifers are really not pro-lifers. They're pro-birth, and it's virtually an avenue to destroy human life before it ever even has a chance to be who it wants to be, which is
right.
To return to wholeness. And that doesn't mean you have to leave the planet to do it, but again, it's kind of like the analogy is, if you have a cup and you're filling it up over and over and over again, and it's running over because of all the angst and whatever. And I had heard a story years ago, which is a man went to see a guru, and the guru was in a faraway ancient city, and he took a great deal of time to get there. When he finally got there, and he'd saved quite a bit of money to get there, when he got there, there was a really long line of people, and on the distant mountain, it was a very thin path that you had to go. You had to go in one door. You were there, and then the travelers would exit the opposite door and leave the opposite way. And so he had been through quite a bit, waiting for quite a while to get his turn to go into this house. He
right.
got up to the beginning of the line, followed the very narrow path, got into the house, sat down with the person. The person began to slowly pour tea, and he began to expound what he'd been through and all this stuff. And this is supposed to be a very wise man he was going to see. And
right.
He continued to pour the tea, and the tea overflowed onto the saucer, then onto the table, then onto the floor. And the guy finally stopped, and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "You've waited all this time to hear me, yet you never let me talk."
Right.
Well, part of it in many of these ancient teachings is that they've been able to process all of what they've been through in a very safe environment. These typically very holy people who have this great wisdom.
Right.
They didn't have to sit and literally rot from the inside out because of what has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, part of my questioning that goes back to our original discussion is, what happened to the wisdom of our leaders that has virtually said that if a person needs to talk to a very holy, wise person and say, I've not had safety. I've not had the ability to go to A, B, C, and D that I was promised. Then where do I find that which I need to let go of, this information that I need to let go of, you know, and how are you truly a person of the world if, for instance, this wise person has had these other wise people around them that had their back and yet another person hasn't?
I don't think that's what it is. It'd be great if it was a wise person to tell them how to go. But I think they're dealing with their owners. You know, the leaders have owners. And that's how that works out. Hang on, I'm an hour in the show. I'm sorry about that, Dorothy. But anyway, everybody, hey, the number is 718-508-9813. Call on in. I'll be opening up all the phone lines here shortly, so everybody needs to call in. I mean, I'm not going into overtime as of yet. I probably won't be going overtime tonight because I have a schedule to do tomorrow. Even though it's Memorial Day, everybody's got today off. I don't. Anyway, I'm opening up the phone lines, and anyway, call in, you know, 718-508-9813, and come on into the conversation and see if you can help us figure some of these things out. That's what we're trying to do, figure it out. Anyway, yeah, Dorothy, it gets more confusing as it goes along. And I think it's designed to go that way, to be keep you confused along with everybody else. You know, people are, they're kept confused because you don't know. I have never heard one person ever tell me, I know everything right from wrong. How could you know that? It's changed all the time. You'll never know it all. It's impossible. I mean, that is a formula that cannot be figured out. You know what I mean? You can't figure it out.
Well, I've heard more than enough people over the years say, I followed the rules that I was raised with, to be honest and ethical, and yet you have learned in hindsight that you're not allowed to do that. To do that gets you in trouble.
Right. Right. I don't know. It's, like I said there again, damn you do, damn you don't. That seems to be the concept of it all. You know,
well,
what does a person do?
Well,
I mean,
it goes back to the basic words of, what is it, that nearsighted actually means that you can't see far away, and farsighted means
right.
You can't see close up.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so,
the reverse applies.
I mean, you know, like now with this American Spring, have you looked up on any of that, you know, American Spring's on right now, where they're wanting to throw this government out? I mean, my question is this a legit gig? I mean, I've not seen enough information to satisfy my taste in that, you know? I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I'm thinking about heading up there to take a look at it, you know, just, you know, the heck of it. But I don't know. I'm just not seeing enough information. And the media is definitely being awfully quiet about this. That's the other thing that's really got me shocked. Why aren't the media saying something about this period? You know, I haven't. Hang on just a second. Sorry about that. Dogs want to talk too. But, what is next? Are we looking for a civil war? Are we waiting for a revolution to come on? Are we, you know, is that going to be the next thing thrown at our way? Because we keep getting thrown rocks at us. I don't seem to understand. And a lot of it's not even reasonable. It don't make no sense to me. And a lot of people don't seem to catch on. And they want that complete confusion. That's all they want. They don't want to have to wait. Nick, Joel, let's take a break for a second. So hang tight. Sorry about that. I had let the dogs out. They're getting out of control. I shouldn't have them in here. Hey.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Toinette, how are you?
Good. I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fair to middling, I could say. Maybe. Somewhat.
Oh.
I'm well.
Well, that's good. I found...
Anyway, I got all the phones open, kids. So...
Where's the kids at here?
Huh?
Where's the kids at here? Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to make the older folks feel better.
I'm not
some
a kid.
I'm
what? Not a goat. I'm not even an old kid. I'm not an old goat.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Did I not just hear you say the words were important? That
okay,
we know
yes,
what they
yes,
really
they
mean?
Okay, youngin.
Well, I wish I was a youngin. No, I don't. Lord, I have to go through all this again. But
just
he had a question
you
in
happy.
The chat room by Flycatch before he left. And he wanted to know how Common Core, he made a statement that Common Core was racist, and he wanted to know where he was going with that one. So can you explain Common Core? And Pumpkin said she doesn't mind being called a kid on Ron's show. Nobody else refers to her as a kid anymore. Pumpkin, that's because, honey, you're not a goat, but you're a young lady, a very young lady. Does that help you? A very young lady.
Okay.
But you're not a goat.
Well,
but if you want Ron to call you a kid, then you can have that.
Well, then I guess that I'm a kid. And I should speak in my language then from here on out. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not saying a word.
I'm speaking
cussing at me.
My birth my birth language. Okay. I'm going to talk in my language from here on out, folks. No more of this lovely voice I have now you're hearing. It's over. It's over.
See, Pumpkin, look what you did. See?
What do you mean?
Oh, what? Pumpkin, why don't you call in and talk with us? See, y'all have to understand, my children are out of school now, and my granddaughter's in kindergarten, so what is the Common Core? Because Pumpkin said the Common Core sucks for all students in public school.
They have a website, Antoinette, if you want to go to.
Hi, Billy.
I think it's commoncore.com, and I want to apologize to Ron. I think the last show I was on, I fell asleep on you.
Were you trying to? Last night, man. I was like, wow, he was here for a minute. Now he's gone. I guess he hates my show.
God.
I mean,
no. I was just, something. It's been a long 2 weeks, man. And
I know, brother.
Holy crap! And something, you started with that awesome. Seminar thing. I was listening to it. I laying there. I dozed off, and then I wake up to Bye Bye American Pie, and then I scrolled up. I scrolled up and it said a show 2 hours ago, and then Blog Talk just disconnected me. I was like, thank God I have myself muted, or I would have been snoring on your show.
Oh, that's all right.
Oh, Billy, I wouldn't have never let you live that down.
Antoinette was not here. Was not there with me last night. I would have slept you on the air. Let you snore. Just,
oh
so it'd be in the archives. The whole show.
I was just so happy that I had myself muted. Because if I'm not talking, I'll go ahead and mute myself.
Right,
I mean? But Antoinette, they have a website. And there's a lot of stuff.
I just pulled it up, yeah.
And you can look on a lot of stuff on YouTube and online. And you have to really research it for yourself and make your own decision on Common Core, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, if you have an intelligent grandchild, what I'm saying?
Yeah, grandchild.
Yeah, I think, like my daughter's 13, and she knows I'll just put it this way. She knows stupid things when she sees them. She knows to ignore them. So. I don't know about someone in kindergarten or first grade, though. So that's a whole different story.
Yeah, because I don't know about that.
Because my daughter's already brought up stuff to me, That's just like, I'm like, I was doing school today, and, if it was something stupid, she'll tell me, and she just, I'm like, well, what did you think? She said, I just ignored it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to read. I'm trying to read.
Okay, Pumpkin, you're open, hon.
Hi.
Hello. Oh, wait a minute, y'all. My grandbaby, I guess she's crying because they're leaving. Also, y'all talk. I'm going to go talk to my grandbaby.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about one little thing with the Common Core that is happening in my school district. My school district literally needs to dumb down our students in math to go along with Common Core.
Dumb them down?
Dumb them down. So this is what's happened in my school district. Okay, you would have, let's say, an eighth grade student before Common Core. The math they were taking in eighth grade in my school district, they now cannot teach that math until these kids are freshmen in high school. So in my school district, we have to dumb down our kids a whole grade in math to be in, to go along with the Common Core standards.
Mm-hmm.
Where can that be good?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I experienced something very similar with a teacher. They were learning algebra, and some of the students weren't basically being able to do their homework, so they weren't turning in their homework assignments. So she changed the whole thing around and made it easier for the students that weren't turning in their homework, so they would basically get a good grade. Now, for my daughter, who spent hours, even cried over algebra because she first didn't understand it and worked extremely hard at it and then got it, okay, then was basically given stuff that she could look at and just do in her head, you know what I mean, and just go ahead and write the answer down. Literally, they were giving the kids, it got to the point where they were giving the kids the answers to the questions on the test. It's ridiculous.
In what grade was that, and with your daughter?
She's in sixth grade.
Sixth grade?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, seventh
grade. That was before Common Core?
No, they just started that at our school because we got a note about it and all that stuff. And, you know, there's even a test and all that. That's the first thing I noticed was, and you know, my daughter told me, I ask every day, you know, how is school, you know, what are you doing in school? And she straight out told me that, because she was having problems with algebra, and then she worked really hard to learn it, you know. But she wants to be an honor student and all that, and she wants to learn, which she is. And she said, well, algebra got a lot easier. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, with the homework, because some kids, you know, weren't doing their homework. I'm like, why aren't they doing their homework? She's like, because they don't understand it. Like, I didn't understand it in the beginning. The teacher was just basically doing it in class. Oh, no. The teacher was allowing them to bring the book home that had the answers in the back. All right? And then they would do their homework and then bring it in, and then only one question would be basically looked at. And if that question was answered, then they got credit for the homework. Mm-hmm. But I said, yeah, but there's the answers are in the back of the book. And she says, I know. And I says, well, don't look in the back of the book. And she says, I won't. And I, you know, I'm like, yeah, but you know something? If you don't understand it, of course you're going to look in the back of the book. If you don't know the answer, you're going to look in the back of the book.
Right.
And I thought that was very pitiful.
Well, good question. A question for you with your daughter's school. Like with my son's a sophomore, he's grandfathered in, so he doesn't have to do Common Core. But we're hearing all the horror stories because he's still in school.
Mm-hmm.
Like with our public school district, what they would do for like math is they would have different tracks. They would have like advanced math for the kids that, you know, just got math real easily. They'd have regular math, and then they'd have applied math for the kids that struggled. And that was nice because then each student was in the division or class that was best for their math abilities. That way that you know, kids that just get math are still being challenged, and the kids that have a lot of problems are in a class with the other kids with a lot of problems with math, so they're not feeling stressed out about going too fast, all right, which I support and thought this is good because it's to the student. That's gone. Now everybody in eighth grade takes the exact same math course.
Right.
So what they're running, or ninth grade and below, in our state we grandfathered the kids that are currently sophomores. But for the ninth graders and below, there's no more being put into a class that's suitable for you. The very advanced kids to the kids with the learning disabilities and everything in between are all in the same class.
Right, exactly.
So you have the children who are not challenged in any way or form. You have the kids where it's maybe right on for them, and then you have the kids that couldn't keep up with this if their life depended on it. Where is that a plus?
So that's not
the old streamlining.
No, that doesn't help these students, and it certainly does not help that teacher try to teach such a wide range of student potential for that subject.
Well, go back to the 70s when they did that, and what did that do? That caused a rift between people. It also was public humiliation because those who, for whatever reasons, they couldn't understand the formula factor, but these teachers won't bring in. And this is something where parents can really help. Often for those kids that don't get the formulas, if they get to work with their hands, like replicate building a fence, like a miniature version of whatever they're putting on the board, they understand it. It's the other side of the brain that's working, and yet these teachers only want to teach the formula. So it's a built-in public humiliation system.
Well, it's not even what the teachers want to do. The teachers are, we're just going to, I'm going to stick with math, okay? With math, they're given a set of instructions on how to solve the problem.
Right.
They have to teach that method.
Right.
They can't teach any other method. And then when they give the test, let's say the student gets the answer correct but didn't follow the way to do what the teacher taught, they get no credit for that problem. It's wrong. I mean, that makes no sense to me. Because most people know with math, there's typically more than one way to get the right answer.
Right.
And certain ways of doing math is easier for one student. A different way, you know, makes more sense to the next student. And the teachers can't even do that anymore.
Have you been able to?
You know, Susie, stay after with me tonight, and we're going to go over how to do this math a different way. They can't do that anymore.
Have you been able to sit down, and does it make sense to you how they're doing it?
The Common Core, absolutely not.
Okay.
But like I said, my son is grandfathered. My son will not take Common Core. He's currently a sophomore, so he's grandfathered in with the pre-Common Core curriculums. But, I mean, obviously he's got friends that are freshmen, and, I mean, it's a disaster.
See, the question I would ask is, and probably parents that are in maybe businesses or architects or engineers, the question that you would want to gather up some of these parents that may have that background is to ask and say, is there some type of applied science that is changing that is going to be beneficial in the future, or is this just another way of, I mean, what's the logic behind it is what I'm asking.
With the Common Core?
Well, in the area you're talking about as far as the math, where it doesn't even make sense to the parents. And so if you look at even some of the applied professions of the future, that, you know, engineers and those I've mentioned, is there something that they know, like, why is this being done like this? There has to be typically a reason, and that's the question is, why?
Well, I know the area I live in, excuse me, I have allergies, they have had parents go to meetings. Teachers have gone to these meetings voicing concerns. And as far as the state I'm in, the state itself doesn't care. I mean, these questions are being asked over and over again. But our state's not answering.
Yeah, I did. I did substitute teaching years ago. And this was, they were doing the mandatory tests, you know, the equivalency tests. And it was really quite bizarre just because of the information they were asking. I mean, I have advanced degrees, and the stuff they were asking made no sense to me. Most of the kids didn't even understand how it applied in the practical world, in their world, and how it even connected to anything else.
Well, that's kind of interesting that you say that, because there has been this school year we're currently finishing up. There was throughout the year standardized tests that all the grades, to, you know, all the third graders, let's say, get a standardized test. You know, all the fifth graders get a standardized test. And there were parents this year that opted their children out of those standardized tests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's maybe not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, even,
I mean,
if you go back to the old
has it gotten them anywhere
helper
at this point? No, but maybe if enough parents do that, you know, maybe then somebody will start listening. I don't know. I don't have an answer. But I thought that was interesting, maybe not a bad idea.
Well, you know, even on the bell curve, do you remember that? We would have that when we were growing up ourselves. Do you know that the teacher could determine who gets to flunk even if they understand the information? And instead of having the teacher graded based on how is the teacher communicating to the student, did the teacher flunk? If the kids are all A students and they're providing A information back to the teacher gets to decide who gets to fail and who doesn't. That's the whole idea of the bell curve. And it really doesn't make sense. Because why don't you...
These schools are corporate controlled.
Yes.
These are corporations control these schools.
Right.
They're being
right.
This is set up for their agenda, for what
right.
they want. That's how they're,
right.
work, how they're working this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that now in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
But to put it in those
contexts. I just think it's sad when a school district needs to dumb down their curriculum to meet the Common Core standards. That's just wrong.
I agree. That is wrong.
That is wrong. Like right now, our seniors can take pre-calculus. My son's class will be the last class that can do that in our school district because of
you
Common Core.
How old grade is the M Pumpkin?
He's a sophomore. His senior year, he'll take pre-calculus. Mm-hmm. His class will be the last class that gets to do that. They have to drop the pre-calculus for the seniors that want to take it. It's not required, but those that want to take it, because of the Common Core. Because what the kids were learning in eighth grade, they now cannot learn until they're freshmen in high school. So they won't be ready for pre-calculus as seniors under Common Core.
Right.
I know my daughter had that in eighth grade. That was middle school.
She had pre-calculus
in
eighth grader?
Mm-hmm.
It's a college course.
Her father thought those things were fun.
I don't know when you guys
were trigonometry and calculus and everything like that. He thought those things, he did those things for fun.
She's going to be a math prodigy. She's great, and she's passing college-level math classes. That's pretty
impressive.
She's
out of school now. She's out of school.
Mm-hmm.
My dad thought those things were fun. And, you know, that was just, he loved math, and he loved it to that degree. I was lazy.
That's good.
I like business.
That's good.
I like business math. So I went that route where, you know, he went.
I can't see a benefit to Common Core. I can't see it. I mean, I guess I'm very happy that I don't have to technically deal with it with my children because my son is my youngest child.
Yeah.
So, you know, we hit that bubble on the right side. But
yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a parent with a child in grade school.
I don't have children in grade, but I have a grandchild. And, you know, my grandson, he starts school next fall year, but he's going to a Greek school, something like that, where he's going to be learning Greek and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think
we're going to see the homeschooling rates go up, too. Because I know I've talked with certain parents, even where I live, that have children in grade school, and they're looking into the homeschooling option because of the Common Core.
Has the superintendent bothered to address this at all?
Our school board put a bunch of questions out to whoever in the state made this decision, and we're still waiting for responses. Like I said, in New York State, the state is not responding to the school districts. So it's kind of, there was a meeting, oh goodness, I think early December, where somebody from the state came in to answer questions. He walked out 10 minutes into the meeting. Just literally walked out. I mean, that's the response the school districts in New York State, you know, and the teachers, administrators, parents, students, that's the response they're getting from the state. Nothing. ignored.
And where is, you mentioned New York, so I assume you live there.
Yeah, we live in New York State.
Okay. What is the rating of New York in based on all 50 states?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And I think also it's probably based on the areas and different parts of New York. And I think you're more upstate New York, Pumpkin.
Yeah, we're upstate.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if my state's changed the rules on children in school, on the age they could quit school. Because it used to be when you were 16, you could walk out of school and be done with it. They've changed it to 18 now. It's 18 is the new law.
I don't know.
18. Yeah, I don't know. It's just another way to get
money
out of
people. Maybe you get more to stay in there. But then they put them out for the stupidest things, you know, from what I've seen. Then they had the police in the school and everything else. So you mess around in school and you get end up having a criminal log for things that children do that they just children do. You know, even when they're, you know, arresting elementary children.
That showed his finger, had his hand in the figure of a gun, his hand playing, little kid, and they arrested him. He's like 5-6-year-old little kid. What the hell?
Yeah, I've seen where they had them in handcuffs and everything, kindergarten.
Yeah,
what the heck is wrong with you people?
Right, and then also they can question your children without your consent in school and all that shit, too.
Yeah, see, and I'm so glad I don't have children in school. And, of course, you know, I have a fit as they question my grandchildren. You know, because you better call somebody.
They won't. They'll let them question kids as much as they want. The one thing is, I figure teach kids, like I tell my friends who got kids, teach your kids, when somebody comes and tell you they want to talk to you and ask you questions, tell them you need to see your attorney. That's all you ever tell them.
I told my granddaughter to, you know, tell them to call your parents or tell them to call your grandmother.
I'm
said, really, you want them to call your grandmother.
Yeah, don't call grandma.
I'm surprised parents aren't reading through the material themselves, but also given to technology, figuring out how to wire their kids so that they could be listening and what's going on. Because I'll tell you.
Oh, that's coming. They've already been implementing that. But I guarantee you, the problem
I mean, parents
people
doing it.
People schools as babysitters, too. They don't give a shit. They throw their kids in school, and they're glad to see school, so in school as a babysitter. And they're too busy working to make that dollar, and they don't pay attention to what the kid's doing in school. You know, there's a lot of parents that do that.
Yeah.
They don't pay attention. You
well,
know?
Then a lot of the things that are going on now. But a lot of things that are going on in the schools now, I think parents are at a loss, too. Keep in mind, they took a lot of the parents' rights away when it came to raising their children.
Well, they're not the children anyway in the first place. You know, the parents are not, they don't own the kids. The kids were left to their parents 30 days after they're born. They're born in the state. They're like a pet to you. That's the way they play that game. The children are, you know, they belong to the state that you live in, the state they're born in. That's how they play that little game.
Let me ask a question because, again, it's been a while since I did teaching. When there's any kind of a trauma that happens, whether or not it was 9/11 or something else that affects the state or city, does anybody know how kids are being, how they're processing through that stuff? Because often if they're talking to kids, you know, just allowing to verbalize, that really never helps the trauma. That actually makes it worse because it, you know, trauma affects the brain. And when you just do talk therapy, it actually sets in much like a river down a groove, the groove being the trauma that's occurred to the brain. And talk therapy over and over and over typically pushes it farther down in the brain. Whereas when you are writing it out descriptively, the emotion in the the writing process moves from the emotional side into the descriptive side, and you go back into the logic, reasoning, critical thinking.
Then have any? I've got a question. Then have any studies been done on the two generations, that the one generation that went through World War II with the rolling blackouts, with the special light bulbs that they had that you'd buy for your home to black out, the civil defense wardens that would go around to make sure that you had your curtains and shutters, and then all of the drives for scrap metal and everything that kids were involved with, worrying about people landing, the Germans landing or the Japanese landing, on the West Coast. Or even move it up into the atomic age when you had duck and cover. All the kids that must have been traumatized by this. Did it ruin society? Were the kids ruined because they had to go through drills of hiding underneath their desks, worrying about posters from the government about what would happen in the event of a bomb? Were there any studies done on that? I mean, you've got two generations that are close to us now that we have to have evidence of. Did it affect them? Should 9/11 have been right in their face so that they understand what's going on? Or should we coddle them?
I remember doing that in school. Where you had those drills.
We had a stronger society back then. We had a realistic society back then. We had different people. And it was different guidelines, different values, different honor and everything else.
Oh, most definitely.
And we've toyed with it so much that we've ruined it. And we've let it get out of control. Honest to God, I'm a historian. I mean, Billy D,
me
from George's record. And we've done a lot of damage to ourselves by letting it get out of control. And Common Core is just an example of it. That link that I put on there showing where I said it's flawed, I posted under the name of Kilroy in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Go to that teacher's site.
I pulled it up.
And go to that teacher's site and type in any subject you want. Type in Japan and take a look what it says about Japan in World War II. Everything in there that's not factual history, they go in, type about Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Take a look at what it says about it. Well, you know, there have been conflicting views, and don't coddle them. They don't say anything about the war in the Pacific. But when you get to World War II, type in Nazi. Take a look at what it says about it. The bulk of it, the main thing about it, the main thrust about the history is about the Holocaust. To me, as a World War II historian, this is the first step in their revisionists. There are wackos out there that claim the Holocaust never happened. Yes, I know those idiots. But there's another group out there that wants to rewrite the history to make it sound like the only people that suffered in World War II was one group. That's not true. The human race suffered in World War II.
That's true.
Don't see anything in that study about the 25 million Russians that died in World War II. Anything about the other atrocities that were committed or the atrocities committed by the Japanese. Or the Japanese version of the Nuremberg trials that were held in the Pacific. Nothing. Common Core is a flawed. It's a political, I don't know what you want to call it. It should be done away with. The teachers should be, we should actually have not biased teachers. We should have teachers out there that are actually doing their job and presenting all the facts, putting everything out there on the table so these kids have a rounded education. I've got a book from the 1800s. If you want, look it up. It was reprinted.
Oh, that's great.
It's called, this book is about teaching. This book is called Universal Self-Instructor, Universal Self-Instructor. It was written by Kelly and reprinted, and actually even sent over in Australia it was printed. And what this book, what they do with it is, it had a smattering of every subject you can imagine for the pioneers, the people that were settling out in the West. And they take the books like this with them when they'd resettle so they could teach the kids everything from handwriting, a little bit of history, etiquette, spelling, you name it. And it was a little bit of everything. Take a look through one of these books and look at the differences of what was taught back then.
The testing from the 1800s for the eighth graders, when you look at that test and Lord, you know, you look at the test now, you can tell it's a big, big difference. Those
it's a big difference. Never mind technology, but
so much more.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't. It also wasn't politically driven. Now it's politically driven, which I'm.
Yes.
I'm against that.
Well, have you listened to Charlotte Isbott? I hope I'm saying her name correctly. Ron, you know who I'm talking about. Ron. Okay. Does
you might have stepped away.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was muted out for a minute. Sorry about that. No, I don't. I can't remember.
I'm going to get it for you. But she talks about how they, the dumbed down of America.
Yep.
And the dumbed down of the educational system.
Exactly.
I know,
yep.
It's about something like that, but I'm going to get it for y'all.
Isn't it Texas that is the state that's in responsible for the textbooks?
No,
yes.
It's not just. There are many different, from what I've seen, just doing a quick research on it, there are many different foundations that are involved. But a lot of the money from three of the foundations that I found that are supporting some of these companies that are producing
mm-hmm.
them, I traced it back to Soros money. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I don't have a tin hat on.
Right.
But I'm looking at it saying, what are these people getting involved with foundations funding this stuff? What is going on? Is something else, there's got to be something else going on that I'm missing.
Hey Mike, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I brought this up earlier in the show. Like with my daughter, how the teachers seemed to respond to this Common Core thing
yeah.
was a lot of the kids in her class just didn't understand algebra, all right?
Right?
So and they weren't doing their homework. And here, at least here anyway, if you don't do your homework, you don't pass the class.
And the teacher takes the blame for that.
Right. Now, this is
yeah.
how the teacher this is
yep.
how the teacher adapted to it, Mike. What she did was she gave them the book to take home that had the answers in the back. Okay, so the kids that didn't basically know how to answer the question properly, they have the answer in the back, and then how the teacher would check it is, you know, each kid would just pass it down, and she would just ask one question, just one question on the homework, and as long as it was filled in and correct, everybody passed. You know, that kid passed. But she gave them the book to take home that had the answers in the back. You see what I'm saying?
Well, teachers
that's
are rated.
Do
that's
they
all
have
you
open
eight,
testing?
Man.
Right.
Open
it's,
book testing.
Teachers get rated.
Isn't that part of Common Core that the teacher gets rated?
It's not fair to the teacher, but also this is the teacher's out of desperation because the teacher's being graded on this. They're being
right.
judged on this. Their job, their performance, and everything is on the line. So human nature is you're going to do what you have to do to survive. They,
exactly.
None of them take into account human nature. None of these people, whether it's gun control or anything else, they think they're going to legislate it and they're going to control it. They're not. So it's messed up. And I'm not blaming the teachers. I feel bad for them. It's not fair to them that they're going to pay the price for this.
Right, but there's also teachers that are being really good teachers that are being replaced by, and this is from a friend who her profession was teaching. Now, granted, she was she had a disability, but she certainly was a very competent, good teacher, and they simply got rid of her. I mean, I've heard this from multiple teachers, and it's they're making way for this new group of people. And again, we all know that when you look at children, there's a great deal of kind of bullying, and they're, as they're developing, there's second grade, which is typically a very vulnerable grade where, again, depending on what the school is putting in place, when you are putting together your foundational areas of math, reading, sciences, the basics there, that if they're being bullied, if they're now doing what used to be called streamlining, where they're putting all the different kids of varying intelligence together, those who have challenges all together, that you're now going to begin having problems. This is something that was going on in the 60s. And if there is now public humiliation that's occurring within the class among teachers or even with students, peer groups and stuff, that can actually impact dramatically where a child will be able to learn from that point on. That's
right,
a, that's
about in real quick.
Issue.
I need to cut in here real quick. Everybody got 2 minutes and 36 seconds to call in. If you want to go in overtime with us, keep on listening to the show. The number is 718-508-9813, 718-508-9813. So you better call in or you're going to miss the rest of it. So go ahead, continue on. Sorry about that.
Ron, excuse me.
Yes.
Also, y'all,
mm-hmm.
I put in the two links. I mean, y'all can find a lot more from her. But it's Charlotte Isabite. I'm really bad with names. But it's I-S-E-R B-Y-T. And
is it
she
right?
talks about, yes.
Is it right? Oh, okay.
And I put in two links for two of her YouTubes. But she has the Dumbing Down of America and, you know, just when all of this got started and everything else. And Pumpkin, I don't know if you live in Long Island. I just know that you said you're from New York. So I did put in the one that she had for Long Island. So I hope that that could be a help to y'all. And she is a very good speaker. So I really think that, you know, y'all could benefit from, you know, listening to it. I mean, after that, it's up to y'all what you want to do with it, but.
Drink too much coffee tonight there? Mike, what are you still doing up?
Tell you the truth, I'm stuck doing laundry. I'm doing laundry.
Don't talk about it. I got laundry to do.
So I'm sitting here doing laundry while I'm listening in on the radio programs. And,
dude, you always have hands in water, man. I swear to God, you always got water running.
I know. Well, yeah, it's because doing laundry and whatever. Plus, remember, I own a restaurant.
I know.
Yeah.
I just got water running.
So, yeah, so sorry
about
that.
Well, we're happy
noise.
That you're with us doing your laundry. That's okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it's frustrating to me.
Look, you still got things to do besides, look, everybody's still got life to live. You still got things to do.
Yeah, that's true.
But you need
so
free,
you were able to do it and listen to us,
early,
so we're happy.
Right after it happened. And
pardon me?
No, I'm just joking. Pre-treat the soul spot for your shirt.
This is my first time on your show, and thanks for having me here.
Hey, I'm glad to hear you, man. Right on, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you? And I'm sorry for coming off hardcore like that, but that Common Core stuff really it worries me. No,
that's fine, man. That's fine.
I'll tell you what. In high school, it got to the point with me, but. But as George mentioned on one of the other shows, I've collected war souvenirs and studied. I got my first German helmet. I was 6 or 7 years old. And then after that, a neighbor gave me a Japanese World War II helmet. And then it grew from there, and I've collected ever since. And I loan items to the History Channel. But in high school, it got to the point that my history teacher would tell me, Mike, for the next 3 days, we're covering World War II, go away. Go somewhere. Leave the class.
My.
I don't want to hear from you. And it was okay. It was an open campus. I went to Worcester Academy up in Massachusetts, and so it was cool. I could go across the street over to the pizzeria and sit there and have pizza or whatever. But I would take him on because what the books were teaching back then were flawed. And I'd come in with U.S. Army historic set. I had the historic series of showing the Army documented what units – troop movements, everything that was in there. And I'd contest what the books were, and then I told them outright, if I can't trust what you're teaching us about this, how can I trust anything else you're teaching us about history?
Exactly.
And so he finally gave up. He didn't want to argue with me, and we just – and I'm not that I was argumentative with him, but I asked a fair question. But I just – ever since then, I always wanted – if somebody gives me one thing, I'd want to dig, and I'd want to find out. And I found it from World War II veterans even. Somebody that was at the Battle of the Bulge. Depending where you were, every soldier would have a different view, a different perspective of the situation where they were. And now you have a commanding officer overseeing the whole picture has a totally different perspective
right.
of what it was. So you have to have different views. You can't take one. I don't care whether it's a Democrat writing it or a Republican writing it. You've got to look at everything to really understand and know what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're all a part of the same core.
Yep.
Right, and the question I have following up on that is, for those who have children currently in the system, what are they learning when it comes down to the attitude of to tell the truth? Can they challenge the truth under Common Core, especially if, Mike, as you said, you did so when you were younger? What's happening now with kids that do know the truth? Or are they being subjected to God knows what?
Or the business
I mean, that existed before Common Core and is going to exist after Common Core. That depends on the teacher, how patient they are, how willing to engage they are, and the other thing is how well they know the lesson. Because there are certain subjects that teachers are weak in, and they kind of, you know, depend on what they call the lesson plan. So they'll go online, download the lesson plan, kind of, you know, read a few cliff notes on something. So they're not really well-versed in it. So if you happen to be in that class and you have a student that really knows the subject, then, you know, yeah, it could turn into, you know, some kind of battle of wills between a student and a teacher. So
and, yeah, like what happened with me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, he'd pass me right away. There were no questions about it. No, he'd just say, just go away, go. Just, you know, it was fine. He was smiling, but he got it. He's just go.
Well, that's a good method in that he's not stopping everybody else from starting from the beginning, but it's also bad because they could have learned a lot from, you know, you guys having exchanges in there. So
right. That's true, too.
Can I ask a silly, retarded question, which, you know, I like to ask them stupid, retarded questions every once in a while? I'm on this Common Core State Standard site, all right? And I've been reading a lot of this and going through it a little bit. And the standard in your state, okay, it states here, it says 44 states, the District of Columbia, four territories, and Department of Defense Education Activity, DODEA, have adopted the Common Core State Standard. What does the Department of Defense do with this? That's right. That's what it says. Department of Defense Education Activity, DODEA, has adopted a Common Core State Standard.
Now, the reason Department of Defense would get involved with Common Core, it's very, very simple. You have bases, and I had a friend of mine who was one of the superintendents they had for the school system at Fort Hood. And to tell you the God's honest truth, she was there with the kids when that insane major was on the rampage.
Okay.
And I got a call from her husband. I got a call from her husband saying, Mike, she's locked down in a room with the students. And it was a scary time. But anyways, there are schools that operate on the bases around the country and around the world that are American schools that have to have a curriculum that they go by. Now, the government has a lot of money, and they can bribe. So they'll go to the school district up in Albany, and they'll say, how would you like $500,000? Okay, if you follow this, we'll give you $500,000, just like what happened down here in Westchester with Astorino. I mean, with our county executive we had before him, where the HUD came and said, how would you like to have this money that you can use in the county? Okay, what do you need? We're going to tell you how much minority housing you have to put up. They'll use money as a tool to bribe and control municipalities and school systems or whatever they want.
Right.
And this is what they do, and it's a bribe. So the Department of Defense, it's a government agency. What's the government using today? Okay, Common Core, that's what all our schools are going to have.
I'll also go out on YouTube and watch Mark Phillips. Mark Phillips.
Yeah. They actually have it on the Department of Defense site, and it makes sense, though. If they're going to do a system of uniformity, they're going to include them as well. So, I mean, it's not really a big deal.
Well, there's a little bit more than that, but check out Mark's YouTube videos.
Well, I'm not talking about as far as just critiquing the system as what it is. I'm just talking about as far as it being, you know, set on bases. Of course they're going to do that if they're going to require the rest of the country to do it.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right. But there's these states that didn't do it, which is, you know, Texas is one, Indiana is another one, you know. So
they'll come around eventually. Eventually we're gonna have charter school growth. I mean, charter school growth is going to climb ridiculously in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years because there's going to be so many people upset at Common Core, and they're going to start getting the funding that would have gone to public schools is going to start going to charter schools, and there's just going to be a boom in charter schools.
No,
homeschooling will probably tail off a little bit. But
did you see what de Blasio?
Let's go real private corporation. That's what has got us in this problem in the first place. We have so many damn contractors out there, man. It's insane.
Did you see what de Blasio tried doing? In New York City, where de Blasio tried taking the funding away from charter schools? And Governor Cuomo had to come in and say, don't go messing with the charter schools. Leave them alone.
Yeah, that's how you become a one-time winner in politics. If he thinks he was going to go after that, Yeah,
yep,
I'm sure
he did.
Cuomo did have to sit him down.
Yeah.
Well, but there's also been parents in different districts that have said that charter schools are really no different than their public schools, that they're virtually just a little bit of degree difference teaching the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it depends on the school. But, I mean, for the most part, you could say that, but there are some that are really, really good. But, I mean, hell, you have to have the money to go to those. But, yeah, for the most part, you could say that. They're not that much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like a private prison. That's all it is.
But this is one of the things, though. If you have a school to where some of the riffraff is not allowed to come there and you think that's a good thing for your kid, then, I mean, you got to say it's kind of worth the money.
You know, there's a perfect thing that somebody explained to me. I brought that up on George Sinzer's, on George's show. I was looking at, take a look at the taxes that are paid by some of the homes in Chappaqua, in Mount Kisco, Bedford Hills, Somers. And I was speaking with one of the politicians down there, and I said, why would you spend $70,000, $100,000 or more a year on taxes? Granted, you're a millionaire and you can afford it, but you've got to be out of your mind. You could buy another house in Wyoming every year, and it comes with a cow, a house with a cow every year. That's insane amount of money in taxes. And they said, no, it actually isn't. They said, when you think about it like this, say you've got a lot of money and you've got two or three kids. Now, by the time you're done putting them in some of these private schools, you know how much tuition is in the private schools?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money. But now you've got a school district that has the finest teachers. Chappaqua, you don't have any riffraff teachers over there. They can afford to hire the best, and they do. They spend the money and they hire the best. Now, you can save all that money on, plus you get an address. Oh, my God, Chappaqua, look at you. And you got to have a nice house. The money you would have been spending on the private schools, that money is going for taxes now instead, and your kids are going to the public school, but they're getting an education. They're coming out of the Chappaqua school system. When the kids get old enough and you take them out of it, that house goes for sale. That house is for sale. They move out. They said that's a common thing that a lot of people with the money do. They move on. Now, Garrison, on the other hand, over here, it's a town in up county, in the northern part of the county. Garrison, what they did was they actually prevent people from putting up apartment buildings. They don't want apartments. They want to lower the amount of kids in the school system so the school system stays smaller, so they keep the taxes lower. And it's in a way, I think it's illegal. But the town decided on it. That's what they decided. And there are a lot of it's an affluent community.
Right.
But it's a sneaky move. But it
good
it
old
works.
Loopholes, man. Good old loopholes.
I mean, I know up there there's an orphanage up there, and they had it's run by a church. I'll just say without going into depth, and they had a black student was in with at the orphanage, and they wanted to put the kids into the school system in Garrison, and the school system stopped it. One of the people on the board said that would change the demographics of the town. Are you out of your mind? Are you insane? This kid was a great kid. It doesn't matter. Who cares that he was a black child? Put him in the school system. No. But that attitude, so there is, in some of these towns, even with all the money and education and everything else, racism does kick in.
Well, I think one of the things that I saw when teaching is, in kind of going back to the whole riffraff thing,
yep.
I got to teach everything from kindergarten to 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And the bizarre thing about the kids that were deemed the riffraff is that they were actually quite intelligent. They had been demonized by the principal. I pretty much was told that. And yet when we got the subject out of the way, they were just extremely highly bored, and they knew some of the greatest thinkers of our time and knew exactly who they were. These were people who weren't fitting into the common mold rather than trying to get all kids stuck in that. Remember the old song of the ticky-tacky? Everybody
yep.
lives in the little ticky-tacky houses?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
These were the breakaway kids. And they simply needed somebody else to help shape their path. Now, if you go back to everything from Socrates to Aristotle. These were not people who in history were going along with the flow. They were the dreamers and those who went a different path. If you go out and you look at the Freedom Writers Foundation, this is a teacher out of California who found that sadly because of the differential between tax monies and different school districts, racism was clearly played in the money game in
yep.
which children, solely because of the tax base or racism or whatever God name these people decide who gets to get education to get a good foundation, the Freedom Writer Foundation is now totally shifting that perception. Because, again, going back to history, if you look at somebody like George Washington Carver,
yep.
here's a gentleman, African-American, African family, one made 300 inventions from one peanut. Everybody has that potential. Everybody.
Yeah, well, the statement, as far as what I said, as far as riffraff, that's just me being honest and
I don't take offense to it.
Yeah, just hold up. When I'm speaking about this, I'm talking about the tier system that we have as far as education. This is an educational caste system. That's what it is. Now, me saying they're riffraff, of course, I don't really mean the kids are riffraff. Any kid with the proper tools can do anything, of course.
Right.
But we can't act like that's what we're actually dealing with. There are kids, I know you've heard of the Little Ivies, where people are paying $30,000 damn near a year for their kid to go to, you know, basically what is kindergarten, early education.
Right.
And so you want to put those to kids who are going to the equivalent of Head Start and say that they both have an equal education. You know what I mean? So, no, I'm not making a statement that kids are riffraff. No, I'm just trying to describe it in the way that the people who actually control things as far as have the money and wealth
how they look
to
at
determine.
It.
Right.
Right. That's
right.
their perspective.
How they look at it.
My
but
here,
there is
I don't
the
want
other side
those
of the,
around.
The other side of the coin, though, too. I mean, I remember there was a YMCA camp that I used to attend up in New Hampshire that it was great, but people had to pay. It wasn't a lot of money. People had to pay to send their kids there. It was called Camp Morgan. And one of the reasons it was shut down, and one of the senior people involved with the camp told me this, was the federal government came in, and they had given money to the camp for some upgrades, and they said as a result that they wanted a certain percentage of the inner-city kids brought to that camp. Can you imagine what happened? The knifings, fights, you name it, started. And that
yeah,
was
but
it.
If
closed
the
camp.
If you're the bureaucrat who's moving money around, it doesn't matter because
you
all
don't
you
care.
Did was get more for your dollar, right?
You don't,
your
don't
job,
care.
You,
you don't
on.
Care. This is what you wanted. That was it. It was. You don't care
yeah.
what the. No. But I saw that camp shut down myself, Camp Moore. They ended up selling off the property to Washington, New Hampshire. They got out of it.
Right, and that's bad governance. Has nothing
that's
to
too
do
bad.
With the children.
It's a shame.
It's bad governance. Yeah, happens
no.
all the time.
No. So now, what do we come down to? Are we blaming the kids again? No, I blame the parents and what's around them. I mean, if I was in that situation in an inner city, I don't care whether I was Chinese, black, Spanish, or what I was, first thing I do is I take the kids, never mind about the government handouts, and I move to Wisconsin or someplace where I'd have a chance to raise the kids and put them in a different environment.
Right, but one of the things that many of us don't know, if you go out on the Internet and you put in this date, 3 October 1995, President Clinton's speech on human radiation experiments. Now, that speech is very telling because he talks about people from 1944 to 1974
yep.
and experiments done in hospitals, in colleges, and in the military. And yet he's sharing that they were inhumane experiments that went on. Then he only asked the federal agencies what the recommendations were, not to let the people know. If you then go lateral and look at information and books done by Dr. Colin Ross, who's a psychiatrist and has well over 15,000 pages of medical documentation from medical journals around this country, and he then overlaps the different types of really heinous experiments done on children from Harvard University, Yale, as well as Tuskegee experiments, the things that were being done to human beings without their knowledge. People going into hospitals, emergency rooms that came out with things in them that they had no knowledge of. Look at Jose Delgado. And one has to say, who are the people that are being experimented on? Why are they being experimented? And why don't they have a right to recover, let alone be told? And how is that impacting all of society? And is that part of the equation that's now being played? Because well, then you have to go back and once again, sir,
no, go ahead.
When we're talking about things like racism or even some of the really horrific things that have happened in our own country, then what changes a child from a good and decent human being using human behavioral sciences to aberrant? They're not born like that. They're manipulated, coerced, and forced. And under what circumstances and why would a society, any society, want to do that to another human being? Is their goal?
Well, the first thing I would say to that is you can't find a government on this planet who would admit to some of the atrocities that they've committed. That's nothing new. Of course they're going to lie, elude, and try to play the background on anything that they've done. Now, moving on to the second part, children come in with a clean slate. Everything that come that's on them as they grow is something we put on them from the outside. Mark Twain is really good on that, if you want to really read on it. What is Man by Mark Twain, great book on that. But as far as what we do to kids and how it's going right now, the best thing to look at is this whole idea of a whistleblower. This latest administration has really gone after whistleblowers, and it's making it hard to where if you do find some kind of, you know, terrible thing going on like the, you know, Tuskegee or something like that, if you're the whistleblower, they're going to come after you. They're not going to allow you to get the information out there. So the question is, how do we as citizens decide we need to really empower whistleblowers? Some people really hate Edward Snowden. Regardless of what you think about, you know, some of the bad things he's done, there's still a common good there, and there's a public interest there that we need to protect. So until we can actually really surround and protect these whistleblowers, we'll get the information 10 years late after the, you know, experiments or whatever has been done, and we're not affecting anything. So I think that's where that lies.
Right, and the question goes back to, when did the truth become illegal? Because that's ultimately what it's about.
Well, all I would say is that people in power think the truth is what they say it is. And that's not an American thing. That's not a Roman Empire thing. You could go over all of history and you would find the person in that seat with that perspective. This is what happened, not what you think, you know. Don't believe your lying eyes. Believe me. That's pretty much how power is always operated.
Well, this administration, what it all comes down to, I mean, they're behind and they're pushing the Common Core. And that comment last year by I just posted the link to it on the Washington Post. I put it in the chat room. I'm sure you've all seen that quote from Arne Duncan, the U.S. Education Secretary.
No, go ahead, say it.
His quote was, "White suburban moms are upset that Common Core show their kids aren't brilliant." I put the link up. It's in the Washington Post newspaper. And the administration is behind it. There are a lot of people that are pushing it, and they're getting upset and frustrated that now people are standing up and fighting it. They don't want to be fought. They want their way. They want to get what their way. They want this as a standard. And I think a lot of the people in this administration, the pendulum has swung way too far, and they're shocked that they're not easily getting away with what they want. And you know, like I was saying on George's show. I was telling George this. This is not the America that I grew up in. I don't recognize a lot of it. Common sense, accountability, it's gone. it's a different it, there are different rules out there now.
Well,
so
I don't see anything different. I see people getting away with what they can, and the next administration,
agreed,
whether Democrat or Republican, will do the same thing. We'll have the same function. Okay, Inauguration Day, let me see what we can get away with. We're determined to do health care. We're determined to reform the schools. We're determined to do this. And they try to get everything on that checklist. And I'm sure they'd anticipate the blowback from, you know, each one of these measures, because think about your own life as far as with change in your life. When your favorite website has a redesign and you go to that website, oh, man, I don't know how to get to, you know, from one thing to another. You know, that kind of frustrates you. So, of course, things on a, you know, huge level as far as affecting your life, of course there's going to be blowback. So I don't think they're surprised at any, you know, any facet of the population saying we don't like this. Their whole thing is, how do we change your mind into saying we'll accept it? So,
but the change, you're saying you don't see a change at all. You don't see a change. I don't know how old you are, but you don't see a change in attitudes towards respect. I remember what it was like when I was a kid. I'm 58.
No,
right, this stuff has been going on.
I don't.
It's been going on, but I mean, there were different rules and. You applied. I remember how kids were back when you went to visit a friend's house or anything else. It was a different world.
Right, but remember,
well, it's a different
part of
world
it was
now.
Only perception. To many of us who were 50, 60, there also was a second set of rules being played then. And sadly, while people were saying, yes, it's much more obvious that it is not the same country,
yeah,
not the same country in many different communities where the rules were on the books. But when you go into those communities, and again, I'll just look at the crimes against certain people, women and children, African-Americans, minorities, crimes against them, it didn't matter if it was on the books. It was totally okay. And there didn't seem to be a huge, it's time to stop this crazy making.
No, a lot of it was was under the table. A lot of it was ignored, but
right,
also a lot of the insanity that was out there. Even when I was younger, I mean, I was reading a report on how many beds were available in the insane asylums compared back in the 50s and 60s compared to today. And also that article that was out that I posted on George's page today called it was from January last year regarding Cuomo, and it was in the New York Post. It's called "Here Come the Crazies," where from this administration pushed Cuomo to release, they were releasing 5,000 to 6,000 lunatics from the asylums and putting them out in society, letting them live, because they didn't feel it was right to have them institutionalized. Back in those days, people like that were institutionalized.
Well, again,
today they're going to college, like the kid in Santa Barbara.
And
just
now they're drugs.
That's early 80s legislation to where they started defunding some of these mental institutions.
Oh, they
you
started in the
50s. Back then.
In the 50s
well,
they started
well,
defunding them.
Well, I'm talking about the 80s as far as
yeah,
the huge, huge one. That was the last time, and that's what we're actually seeing now, to where you have so many people on the street who normally wouldn't have been there.
As far as
things changing, I think we're talking about a perspective thing, because we're in the age of information, and since you can research things on your own with your laptop or on your phone, you just have more access to what's going on. A long time ago, I don't think we knew about it until a scandal broke or, you know, something kind of made the whole little scheme fail, and then it was on the papers every day or something,
right,
and we found out about it. Think
Watergate.
Now you could, right, or the Pentagon Papers. Think of that back then. Right. They had to wait on somebody to physically hand copy everything to get the documents together. You know what I mean? Nowadays, that would be an email that you get or something you get on Twitter. So I think the information age is what changes it. It's so hard for them to put up this facade of what they call governing and rule and everything like that. When we can look back through history, we can look back through now, we can look at now and research things and say, wait a minute, you're lying to me. I've just researched what you just told me. That is not true.
Yep.
And, no, that's a totally different ball game, man. They've
well,
lived on lies.
There's 3 points. Number one, go out and check out cchr.org. So Charlie Hotel Romeo.org, and then the hidden me, which gives you a different perspective on the psychiatry world. A lot of the DSM-4, which is their Bible of mental health, a lot of those terminologies are made up. They have no tests, either blood tests or actual physical tests, to determine a great deal of those, what they call diseases that they're labeling and mislabeling, and they tell you the history of it and how it came to be and how they implemented it. And they even said in this documentary that they were going to implement it into churches and into schools, the world of psychiatry. Now,
right. The
next is when you're looking at the institution issue, remember...
Excuse me for a moment. Ron, are you here?
Yes,
Antoinette.
Ma'am. Yes.
Hello. Hi. You're here?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember historically that often women and children who stood up against and complained about being criminally violated were often put in those institutions. And the history on that has often been a mixed bag of who are these people that have been messed with. You also have to remember that, again, looking at the psychiatry world, it's the youngest science there is. And if you understand the modern father of psychiatry in the 20th century is Ewan Cameron, who is out of Canada, was actually prosecuted for torturing his patients. One of them was a parliament member's of the Canadian parliament's wife. She had been dealing with depression, and they said, go see him. He's a great guy. This is also, remember, the same scientist that said that lobotomies were great.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Dorothy. Ron and everyone, I'm going to have to get ready to go. So I just wanted to say good night to everyone and have a good one.
You have a good night.
You too, sweetie.
Good night.
Absolutely.
God bless.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Your voice sounds familiar, the person who just called, who just talked.
Oh, it's me. It's Naj. What's up, Antoinette?
Oh,
which
Naj,
one?
Well, it's been a long time.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yes. Well, don't be a stranger.
Yeah, I'll definitely come back, man. Good to talk to you.
Yes, it's good talking to you, too. So, Ron, I'm leaving the chat room and everything up.
Okay, sweetie.
You'll take care of everything else.
I got it. All right.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night,
you,
folks.
Sweetie.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and if I could just add to what you were just talking about as far as just talking about that whole system, there's the huge factor of pharmaceuticals. If they create some type of drug and says, okay, these drugs have these side effects, we need your industry to kind of create the demand and say, okay, kids are suffering from X, Y, and Z. We have the drug for it. Let's go to market. Let's go. And, you know, before you knew it, a huge generation of people were being diagnosed with ADD and all of these other different things that we don't really know if there's a real science behind them. So,
well, again,
I agree with you.
I couldn't agree with you more. I agree.
You go out to CCHR, you watch that documentary, and then begin going through that website. It is dedicated to understanding what's going on, and a lot of the people who are speaking up are doctors and psychiatrists who have done the research and who have said this is all about money, this is all about that a great deal of the pharmaceuticals are actually causing many of the effects. Mm-hmm. And often if you even do a comparison of side effects within the pamphlets that are given and you look at their website within the hidden enemy, you'll see a huge differential between what the side effects are listed in the pamphlets that come with the drugs versus what they're saying out there. And I've even gone lateral and looked at a nursing manual, and they often don't say, if you're hypersensitive to drugs, most human beings who don't take drugs at all, don't take aspirin, they're often hypersensitive to the drugs they're being given.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you really need to get your hands on a nursing drug manual to see all the different real side effects being that these children are being subjected to.
Yeah, and then there's the other conflict of interest that we don't hear about. How about just a simple disclaimer on certain drugs saying, I'm being compensated by pushing this drug, and I will get a vacation out of signing up X amount of people for this drug. So, I mean, that's a problem, too, when you got doctors out here with real incentives to push a certain drug. And, you know, these people are behind the eight ball. They got student loans to pay. And, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to fight the whole system by themselves? Not likely. There'll be a few people who do that, but...
Well, the documentary even talks about that. It talks about some of the primary doctors that are supposed to be evaluating the drug and evaluating the impact on children or adults' lives and how it's affecting human beings. Many of them, it actually talks in this documentary about how many of them are taking huge kickbacks from, they're sponsored by the pharmaceuticals that are actually sponsoring that drug. Mm-hmm. And they tell you right in this documentary. But again, you can go through and they have a whole group of different documentaries from Ritalin to, you know, the ADD thing. It really is a very good website that has a great deal of information for people who want to understand what's going on with society right now.
And you know, I brought this up. I was looking at different articles on the shooter in Santa Barbara, and there were only a few of the articles that mentioned that he was seeking psychiatric help, but they didn't mention anything about medication or anything the kid had been on. But I mean, it would have been interesting. It's interesting how they try to hide it, that they don't want to mention this. They downplay it. And I have no doubt that there was some sort of medication this kid was on.
I mentioned that the minute I heard about the case.
Yep.
I mentioned that the second I heard it.
Yep.
But think about how much that is worth, though. How much is it worth for
the
them not to
effects.
Mention it? That's a lot of money, man. Right. That's a lot of money for them not to mention that drug. If he was on the drug. I don't know. There's so much that could have happened with that kid.
But did you pay attention to what show, what movie his father was involved in producing?
Hunger Games.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what is the theme of the Hunger Games?
And they keep talking all the violence that this guy made a lot of money off of, violence.
Right, but humans hunting humans, isn't that the theme of that show?
Yeah, but I think that's going a little far when we start talking about the theme of the show. I think right now we're just directionless. We don't know what's going on, and people are kind of grasping because look at it. This kid's the son of a director in Hollywood. He's going to school in California, and you're having trouble meeting women. All those out-of-work actresses in California, you're having trouble meeting women. There's a lot more to this story that we don't know, and we're being fed so much stuff because people just want to have a story right now because that's the way the news works. I don't think we're on the trail of anything right now. I think we're just guessing. Because just think about that. Any average dude you know, if his father is anything, let alone the director of a big Hollywood movie, they would have no trouble with women because, as dudes, you know, we'll go out there and lie and tell them they could be in the next movie or you could get them on the phone with an actress, anything. You know what I mean? So that part is kind of – it just doesn't fit the story. It's really weird. You're the son of a Hollywood director, and you can't get a date in California.
Yeah, I'm sure that if they did try covering up or minimizing it, I mean, it was probably because of the amount of money in the studios and everything else that were involved, but his family did come out first. They came out and admitted it first. And so, I mean, I don't see them trying to downplay it, but the thing about the medical condition, that plays into another thing.
You're kind of breaking up.
The thing about the medical conditions that he had and the treatment that he'd been seeking, a lot of that was downplayed in the media, and of course they're not going to mention the medications because they're using it as a tool again, and we already had one senator come forward and say, oh, my God, we've got to revisit the gun issue again. Look, it's the guns, instead of it's psychiatric patients, not the guns.
What district does that senator preside over? Because it's always political. It's never moral.
Yeah. And you can't point – first at the fact of, I mean, if you're not looking at what the side effects of the drugs are, that's something that consistently is avoided, and they're saying it's the person rather than the 360-degree look at everything. That's
right.
Difficulty. If no one is looking at what psychiatry has done historically, if no one's willing to look at that history and begin having an intellectual discussion of even the influence. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, there was supposed to be parents out there, I'd heard about it, who were concerned about the sex / the violence connection on TV. And yet it never got any better. It only has escalated exponentially in virtually everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're a violent society, period. I don't know if movies and music really have that much influence on what we already are and who we already are. So I don't know. That's a tough one. That gets
but
to that video game.
People, that was shown years ago. That kind of behavior desensitizes people. It was shown in studies that children who they did.
Well, I'm not disputing that if you show a child violent movies and he plays violent video games that, you know, he will be desensitized. I'm not disputing that. All I'm saying is I don't know if that wasn't here before those were here, meaning in just we're pretty much a really, really competitive kind of violent society. I don't know if there's more truth in that. That's what I'm saying. But I see your point.
The thing is that I'm sure now that there's, you know, the whole making it illegal to tell the truth, the whole whistleblower thing, that's
mm-hmm.
not going to help, is it?
Exactly. Good point. Because the video game industry and the movie industry will lobby if somebody starts to come after them, whether it be a politician or just a regular citizen. Hell, they're going to, you know, they're going to get their crew together to try to fight that before it, you know, turns into a big thing. But who knows? There are 13-year-olds right now who are really good at Call of Duty. Will they end up being, you know, somewhat desensitized to violence and very violent? I don't know. Hard to say.
This is why it's easier to go after the gun. Oh, my goodness, we have to protect the children. Think of the children, people. We have to do something. Oh, I don't feel safe. Oh, my God, what will it take me more of this gun? I can't even deal with that.
Yeah,
they're looking for something to demonize, something to blame, an easy way out, and, yeah, it's the gun. Well, the guy knifed three people. He murdered three people with a knife the
yep.
first thing in his apartment. And then he killed another one with a car that his daddy bought from the Hunger Games money. Oh, my God, if you want to fry somebody, I'll tell you what. The psychiatrist that was treating this kid should be brought up on charges. Because the psychiatrist didn't notify the FBI and say, look, I got a danger here. This guy's a danger to himself and a danger to the community, and he should not ever, never be allowed to buy a gun.
Mm.
Put his name on the list, prevent him from buying a gun. Instead, what happens? He goes to a gun store, passes the NICS check for the background check, and buys three handguns. Oh, well, wait a minute. The liberals are going to say the high-capacity magazines. Yes, yes, that's it. That's it. If we limit the high-capacity magazines, they won't be able to shoot as many people as fast as they can. That'll do it. The kid had 41 10-round magazines.
Yep.
Well, I look here. I'm going to start a new effort. I'm going to start a new thing. Every one of my shows, this is going to be a topic from here on out to the end of the internet or I die first. Whichever comes first. Here's my new topic. Now, listen to me. Here's my new deal, all right? We need fucking knife control in this country. Knives are killing people. You need to control them. Everything down to the fucking plastic knife to the artificial knife. I don't care. They should not allow sharpening stones. They should not allow fucking knife sharpeners on the back of can openers. They should not allow this at all. You should not ever be able to play fish. You should not be able to cut a fucking apple because it should be against the law because knives are dangerous. They need to be outlawed. Outlaw the fucking knives.
Right.
And no exception for swords and sickles. Swords and sickles got to go too. Any sharp instruments got to go. So if you want to
bologna, they're already outlawed.
You have to buy the whole tube because there is no more sliced bologna allowed. Deli,
you know, they're already outlawed.
Outlawed
in England. They already have a law pertaining to swords in England where they're outlawed.
Yeah.
It's not easy to even get a sword. And did you see there was a – I'll find the raid. You got to be kidding me. Once you see this, it's unbelievable. They did a raid down in New York City, and they raided this apartment, and they found a whole bunch of swords. Then there were some pistols and BB guns. And
well, see, Canada don't have guns. England don't have guns. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
does that mean that English English museums are going to be outlawed because of their history with swords?
No, because they consider them, well, you know what, this is it's in a museum, it's safe, and because otherwise
educational purposes only.
Yeah,
educational purposes only.
The SAFE Act in New York, I wanted them to go through the West Point Museum and start cleaning that out because there are too many things up there. I took George today from Firefox News. I brought him up to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's house. They had a World War II reenactment up in Hyde Park. And I told him, I said, you know how many families probably didn't come here today? Because I don't think it's right to expose the children to these guns and this military. It's not good for them. It's not the right environment. They shouldn't be exposed to these things. I have no doubt that some people actually felt that way.
But that's the thing of interest, though, man. My bad, Ron.
I bought Jimmy the new Black Ops game for PlayStation 10. You know? Jesus. You mean, can't watch or react to it, but sure can't play it on video. You know?
Yeah, and this is one issue that I do side with conservatives on, because I look at it as, it should be a self-defense idea. Yes, you should be able to have a gun, man. It's not a big deal. And the people who say that it creates violence don't understand that.
No.
In other times, people would use other means. It's not because people use guns because, you know, the gun is there, so I'm going to do something violent. No, that's just the tool in the form of violence. So if they didn't have the guns, they would use a knife, as the man said, or a sword. Or if they had a 2x4, no matter what, they're trying to commit violence on somebody else. It doesn't matter how it's done to them.
No. They're going to do it. If you're dealing with someone determined and someone that's insane, they're gonna do what they're being driven to do unless somehow they get stopped.
That's going to be illegal, too. Self-defense is illegal. It should be illegal. I'm a write the bill.
Look at the Happy Land fire in New York City. For the Happy Land fire years ago, I forget how many people died in that fire, and it was from a dollar's worth of gas. Dollar's worth of gasoline, and it was revenge. This guy went nuts, and his girlfriend was cheating on him or didn't want to marry him or God, who knows what.
Right.
So he killed all these people.
Crazy.
He did prove the one mathematical equation. You can't get more bang out of a buck.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Hey, psychos, for a dollar, look what you can do.
That's what I'm saying. You could be completely retarded for next to nothing if you deal with this plan. I guarantee you, for $1, you cause massive destruction.
You'll become famous. Mm-hmm. Your name will be in the media. You'll ever be everywhere.
You'll get national attention. You'll get on the list of history of retards. That's retarded things, you know.
Right. So remember,
I think we want to get away too from the responsibility. When we raise some of these flawed people who end up doing some of these things like this, this us. We as Americans raised that guy, influenced that guy growing up, and nobody was good enough to kind of get through or figure out that this person needed medical attention. So, I mean, these are our created problems.
Right, but a lot of this is also goes back.
No.
A lot of this
goes back. No, you can't blame us for doing this. Look here.
We don't get blamed. We're going to pay the taxes on him going to jail.
I know that, but I'm saying, you know, each individual wants to make the decision. I hate when people blame other people. That's what it pisses me off. The fact of it is, they make their own decisions. That's their choice. That's each individual's choice. That's what you decide to do without trying to correct it yourself and just go on a whim with some crazy bullshit. That's your
right. I'm not arguing with that point in that it's their responsibility to do the crazy act.
Right.
I'm talking about the broken person that we raised in this country. You know what I mean? All of us have somewhat of a responsibility. Of course,
it's the bullshit that's been fed to them.
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say. We make our own monsters. We make our own monsters.
Right.
We molded society. We molded society, and this is the byproduct of the society that we've created.
Yep.
Right, but you also have to look at the study, the Hitler-Himmler-Eichmann study. It was how to create these people. And it was intentional.
So we're really not the sharpest knife in the drawer, for you.
Right.
Well, no. The sad thing is
the knives.
The sad thing is that again, you go back to President Clinton's speech, and the fact that there was a great deal of experimentation going on, and that after three generations, the stuff becomes automatic. Now, for some people, they're raised with this type of behavior. They may do whatever they want. Think about the KKK. They had their children right alongside of them as they were doing what they were doing to other human beings. That
indoctrinating,
was,
yeah.
You betcha. And so you're talking about people who have intentionally, deliberately, and in breaking people, where they had entire systems set up to do that. And when you say it's these people's responsibility, if they're shattered and they don't know any better, then is it truly their fault, or is it the criminals who did it? Is it the criminals who did it to them? If you look at the Hitler-Himmler-Eichmann study, it shows clearly it is the responsibility of the abusers and not the people, because sometimes they have no conscious awareness that it's been done. Then you have to overlook it. Then you have to lap over that. Some of the drugs that have been used on people in which they were given it to them, the drugs were given to them without their knowledge, without their consent or permission, and they had no awareness of what was done to them or what they did under said drugs. So there's an entire aspect that is being played and has been played criminally for many, many years, which, oops, if you really do your research, now may very fall under that whole, do you protect society? Do you tell people that this is what's being played and this is what's going on? If it was if it was your child who was on the other end of, and again, this young man out in California,
Santa Barbara. Yeah.
We do not know what he has been through, because again, the fragile nature of a young person's mind, we don't know what they had endured, by whom, and that's a sad thing. That's often why.
Right. I think we could take this a long way, and I'm going to defer to the World War II historian on this. But if you go through Mein Kampf and see when Hitler was talking about World War I and the things that he was told about protecting the homeland and the songs that they would sing and the way that they were kind of, you know, processed to feel like they were doing their duty as a German. And then you understand, you know, how atrocities can happen afterwards once you get somebody on that setting.
Well, there's a national pride. There's a national pride in everything that was prevalent, but it wasn't direct. There wasn't anybody sitting behind a desk or directing it. But that pride also, and there was anti-Semitism in Europe for years anyway. And but Hitler latched onto it, and it was easy for him to blame the Jews for all that. Getting back to it, that was the main thing. He used it as a tool to put everybody to bind everybody together afterwards. But he was careful about it. I mean, he wasn't outright. I mean, Night of the Long Knives, when he went and he purged the SA and everything, and Kristallnacht. I mean, Kristallnacht was sort of a turning point. But up until then, there was a lot of the propaganda was against and directed at the Treaty of Versailles to show that the German public had been stabbed in the back. You've been betrayed. Now, the next phase of it, the next branch off that tree is you've been betrayed by the bankers, the Jews. The Jews,
yeah.
Look what they did. And it all came down, and what did we end up with in the end? The Treaty of Versailles, which look what it's done to us. They actually, before you get to power, I've got some of them on my collection. They took some of the money during when everything went to hell, and they would use chemicals, and they'd scrape the bills. And because the paper was worth more for them to print on their message than it was for as money. And they print anti-Semitic and propaganda leaflets, and they'd use them as propaganda leaflets. And
right.
it was easier for them to do that. So
I'm not speaking as a cause. I'm just speaking about as far as what the soldiers were put through as far as their idea of what they're fighting for, why they're marching out here.
Well, they're fighting for the fatherland, the fatherland, for the Kaiser,
right.
For the German family, there was a national pride, and you take a look at everything from the medals and the banners that they had. It was the tricolors that you always saw, and the Kaiser was a big hero. There was everything from China pottery with his image on it, and it was a big deal. And
yeah.
You were proud to serve the Kaiser, and here's your chance.
I'm not excusing anything that they did. All I'm trying to say is it's when you get someone in a certain frame of mind, or society frames a person in a certain way, you can see how they can be directed towards, you know, bad or good, whatever it is, they can be
directed
towards.
Absolutely. And people committed, a lot of the German soldiers, a lot of the Waffen-SS committed suicide after some of the atrocities that were committed because they couldn't deal with it. They couldn't handle it. Now, there were other ones that flourished.
Right.
That they must have been unbelievable wackos. And that they, I don't know if they were smiling when they did it, but they said, this is my duty, this is my job, and I'm going to put it out of my mind, and I'm just going to do it. And if that means going to work in Treblinka or whatever, shooting people in the back of the neck, that comes with the job. So there were people that accepted it and just went forward and did it. But it had taken years to get them up to that point.
Yeah.
But we also had a bunch of these people who were brought to America, and they brought their children here. And so as Mark Phillips talks about, they didn't really lose the war, they just relocated here.
No, a lot of the ones that came with Operation Paperclip, you're talking the engineers and the scientists that were moved here?
Right.
Okay, Operation Paperclip was a whole different thing. The ones that came over here,
hands off people.
They didn't care anymore. I'll tell you what, I met one guy that was a member of Gross Deutschland. It was an elite German unit. He was a lieutenant. I met him when I was working in Vail, Colorado. And I sat down and I talked to him and I said, you know, what are your feelings? He said, you know what? I was young. We were young. We were stupid. We believed what we were told. It was our life, our country. And I did a lot of things that were dumb, and we don't want to hear about it anymore. And when you hear about these people that claim they're neo-Nazis, he told me in the media, these aren't neo-Nazis. They don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. And he said, there are no more neo-Nazis. This is a ghost in a cupboard. All the old-timers that survived it, they don't want to hear about it. They're finished. It's done. They don't want to even think about it. So, I mean, now this guy served on the Russian front in combat, and a lot of the, like Gross Deutschland, a lot of them that were too busy dealing with Russian troops coming at them to go play in the nightmares like the Waffen-SS did in some of the villages and everything. So they had their hands full in direct combat. Now, I guess he was wounded, and he ended up captured by the U.S. and was brought over here. A lot of those soldiers, never mind Paperclip, that were brought over here, they were brought over here and evaluated by the U.S. government because the government at the time felt, we're going to run up against the Russians.
Right.
Eventually, we're going to run up against the Russians. And I saw the reports, and some of the reports, they'd ask these guys, what lubricants worked best in your vehicles? What was the best way that you found for lubricating your firearms when you're out in the middle of nowhere and the Russian winter's kicked in and it's below zero? And that's the intel that they wanted from these guys.
Right, because intellectual property is more important than even military intel after the war.
So
what was his name? Kurt Blermer, I believe the name was, the guy in Houston. Without him, do we even get to where NASA got as far as the heights that NASA was able to go to? Do we even get there without that guy?
A lot of the rockets, you know, they weeded through them. They actually, I was just reading something the other day, a lot of the scientists, the jet engine technicians and everything, they weeded through them. Whoever had something that could contribute, they were kept here. But a lot of them were sent back to Germany, where they figured after the war, you know what, we don't need them here. This guy's not serving a purpose. See you later. And they sent them back.
Right.
So they didn't keep all of them here, but...
Right, but a great deal of this stuff, like even Jose Delgado, he was from Spain. He came over and was a professor at Yale, as well as, again, a lot of the Japanese, and a lot of their research came over.
Oh, they got away with murder. The Japanese, because of that camp that they had, where all the science, all the information that...
731.
Right. All of that was turned over to the U.S. government in return for their equivalent of the Nuremberg trials was a fraction of the size of the Nuremberg trials. Nuremberg trials wasn't big enough, but the Japanese got away with it.
Right.
They got away with murder.
Right.
And that stuff was
guys,
you didn't tie it, Ron.
No, we're about out of time. And I have to do this thing, you know, called close the show. I hate to do it, but it's that time. Hey, I
anyway,
want to thank you, everyone. You guys are coming. Oh, very. I really appreciate you coming in, Mike, and everybody. I really appreciate all my listeners and everybody coming in. But yeah, tomorrow night, same time, 10 o'clock, I'll be on the air, Central Standard Time, wherever you're at. I don't know what time that would be, but at that time. But anyway, I sure appreciate you guys coming. But, yeah, you guys talk on. I just want to let know everybody. I'm not out of here, but the show is kind of over, like 2 minutes left. So, anyway, I sure appreciate
all
you
right.
guys. I just want to thank everybody. So carry on until you're cut off and be curious as you're done. All
guys,
right, cool.
Guys, it was a great talk. Great talking with all of you. Great meeting all of you, and we'll see you again one of these days.
Yep. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks
folks.
A million. All right, bye.
Have a good night.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance, that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver, with every paper I'd deliver, bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride.